It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Go off and running for this ninth day of June 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we exist on the interweb tubes. Well, we don't just exist, we thrive on the interweb tubes. And if you run on over to HeadOn.live, you can be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. In the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and whatever time it is where you're listening to the podcast. Hi, I'm Robin, and it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Oh, yes, yes, it is. And it's kind of a sloppy, rainy one here, but you're going to have those in mid to late spring. That's okay. We'll have more beautiful days. That's fine. And, an early program note. Check out Brad Friedman's program later. I will miraculously make an appearance there. Well, not so miraculously. I mean, it's Prayer Meeting Wednesday, but you get the idea. Anyway, if you wander on by HeadOn.live, you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Stockton Larry and Squeaky and Roger in Oregon and Anatole. And they will be happy to see you as well. It's a good time. It really, really is. And I'm in there too. At this point in time, I am your humble and gracious moderator. So I suspect that work must have kept pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy. Brother Bishop Steve, from being there quite yet, but I'm sure he'll be around. So, like I said, it is it's Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and we've got some good prayer. Well, I mean, good, bad, kind of depends on how you look at it all. Prayer meeting stuff, and we're slowly moving back toward live services in our phony imaginary Cathedral of Common Sense, and I'm looking forward to the day. Of course, I've had to have my robes altered. It turned out I tried them on for the first time in a while, and they didn't quite fit the same. Something's strange about it. Yes. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different in that regard. Every program itself is different, but this one is no different insofar as we rely upon the goodwill of the community that wants this program to exist to keep it existing. And so thanks go out to James. Thank you, James, so very much for being a subscriber for the ninth day of the month. Thank you to Ralphs. Thank you, Libby, so very much. Thank you, Khalil. Thank you to Mary Bell. Thanks for all of you for being partial sponsors of the program. It's how this program continues to exist. It really, really is. And so the fundraising goal for the evening is, I believe, $750. So that's $150 for Monday, and then yesterday and today. So it would be wonderful, pretty please, if we could, if we could get the program funded up for the week, because we are in the first full week of June. Mm-hmm. And along the way, Brother Usher Steve says, I'd like to offer up the Marjorie Taylor Dimwit June 31st $31 challenge. Oh, that's beautiful. And what Steve is referring to, and maybe you've seen this by now, but oh God, it's just exquisite. Marjorie Taylor Dimwit done sent off a letter to President Biden, who ain't really president, remember? I mean, Q done told her. No, Steve, I will not. Steve says, I figured you'd be wearing a nun's habit now. Wrong religion. I'm one of those woman preachers. What is an abomination in the eyes of the Lord? Mm-hmm. So, no nun's habit for me. I never wanted to wear an outfit that made me look like a walking clitoris. I mean, it just does. I mean, wow, I can't believe I just said that. Oops. oh, it may be weird tonight. I don't know. I don't want to pick up any bad habits. Ooh, take that, you giraffe, you. And by the way, Ralph says, Reverend Barber meets meet Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin, meet Reverend Barber challenge is on the table. That's $50. And so between those two, that comes to 81. That would be $162. And that would actually find us fully funded Monday, which would be awesome. So it's a great opportunity to double your money. And these challenges mean the world. But they have to be met for them to be a thing. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Ralphs. And thank you to Steve in New York for the Marjorie Taylor Dimwit June 31st. I mean, look, I know I'm of a certain age, but I do remember learning early on, 30 days have September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, except February, which is no fun. No, I didn't. But anyway, who does? Well, and I ask this because on no kidding, really, this is not dummied up. This is not faked. Sadly, unlike that photograph of Donald Trump apparently having put his pants on backwards for his appearance in North Carolina. You know, because that was photoshopped, but it was still funny as hell. So on June the 4th. That would be last Friday. And this is on congressional letterhead. Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cucumber. Dear President Biden, the American people have suffered more than enough from the novel coronavirus, a manufactured plague created at the Wuhan Institute of Virology and released to the world in November 2019. And see, that's curious. Now she's saying November. She doesn't say anything in her stupid letter about it, about her God Emperor being warned about it in November, because that's still kind of on the down low, and I don't understand why. But it's the final sentence of the letter that makes it special. The penultimate paragraph says, almost 600,000 Americans have died because of the Chinese-made virus. It is past time the American people begin receiving answers from their government instead of propaganda mandates and restrictions. Well, I don't know. She seemed to enjoy her mandates with the guy from the gym there in Georgia. Never mind. But the final paragraph then says, We, you know, her and that mouse in her pocket, we urge your administration to act to provide us with these answers to the stupid questions she asked above, to these answers by June 31st, 2021. 30 days, half September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, excepting February, which is no fun. And that's why the Marjorie Taylor Dimwit June 31st $31 challenge is on the table. Good God, how can you be that stupid and still be alive? Oof. It's painful. So, but there's so much of it. Oh, God, there just is. But there's also a whole bunch of religion industry news for prayer meeting Wednesday. And the little old blue-haired ladies, and it's nice this time of year on a rainy day like this, little old blue-haired ladies and little old blue-haired men in the Fellowship Hall kitchen, inspired by my exploits of last Saturday morning, took to biscuit baking. And they baked a whole heap of fresh biscuits. And you don't think about that come dinner time, but sometimes breakfast for dinner is a fun thing. And they worked up the little old blue-haired ladies worked up a whole big old pot of creamed, stewed tomatoes. And that's just a lovely, lovely treat here in Appalachia. The tomatoes are a little bit sweetened. They got a little bit of onion chopped in them, and you thicken them with a thickening made of ice cold milk and a little flour worked in. Bring it to a boil, and you put it over the biscuits like a gravy. And oh, it's so good! It's just so good. There were many happy to go boxes filled by the little old ladies, in the Fellowship Hall kitchen. And to go with it, of course, there was some slaw, and a nice yellow cake with dark chocolate icing. When little old blue-haired ladies get to cooking, it's really special. So that we've tried to keep the Fellowship Hall kitchen going during COVID, but it'll be nice when we're all sitting down together in our imaginary Fellowship Hall again, won't it? I do confess, Steve in New York says, I wondered if one of her staff members is trolling her. No, I don't mean to dismiss that out of hand, Steve. Remember, her staff members bullied Cori Bush's staff and Representative Bush herself so badly that Ms. Bush had to be, and her staff had to be, moved away, which still pisses me off because they should have put, I don't know, they should have put Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber in a basement somewhere, you know, preferably under lock and key, but never mind. Her staff is every bit as toxic and stupid as she is. You could not work. I mean, and remember, Steve has told us in the past he was once an eager young congressional staffer. So, you know, you couldn't be a normal human being and work in that office. I mean, it's clown shoes and big noses all around in the office of Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber. Mm-hmm. Oh, and a program note. I mentioned the possibility of this in yesterday's program. I will be absent from the microphone on Monday. Monday, of course, being the fourteenth day of June. I will be in Charleston, West Virginia, because the Poor People's Campaign Moral Monday March on Manchin will begin at 5 o'clock, so that means I'll have to be gone. I'll have to head for Charleston about 2:30 or so and get there nice and early. And I want to be part of adding my voice to the call for Joe Manchin to stop fucking America, basically. So there'll be there will be no program on Monday unless there's sufficient goings on to warrant me, I don't know, firing up the phone, and maybe Agnes can sit back here if she's willing, and I'll call in and maybe we can listen to the speechifying if I can get good audio. Okay? And there is pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan. Steve! So please make a note of it as to Monday. Okay? By the way, Billable Rick says, stop making fun of Marjorie Taylor Greene. I have it on good authority that June has 31 days on the Q calendar, which is what Marjorie relies upon. Ralph's saying, maybe bring some recording equipment on Monday. I don't want to haul a whole bunch of stuff because it's probably going to be hotter than hell in a heat wave. And I tend to melt in hot weather, remember? I'm one of the pinkest people on earth. Yeah, Monday is calling for sunny and 84 degrees. It'll probably still be in the 80s. Oh, well, okay. I'm busted. Brother Deacon Asa said something really fishy about you being away from the microphone on Donald John Trump's birthday, Kincaid. People's march my left hind foot. How did you know? Oh, you crafty Brother Deacon, you. That's nice. Steve in New York says, if you're able to meet Reverend Barber, tell us what an actual Christian looks like. I probably won't because, you know, he's kind of a progressive celebrity now. And so it's highly unlikely that I will I'll actually get to confabulate with him. It would be nice, but I don't know that I will. But I feel like I just need, you know, every individual who shows up is a little bit more moral weight added to the argument. And I'm gonna see if any folks from Coal River Mountain Watch want to go, and maybe we can kind of, because the environmental groups in West Virginia have spent probably more time than most others advocating and trying to get Joe Manchin to see reason and to, well, I think it took us something like 10 years. I've talked a lot on this program about the rather vast body of information out there, scientific peer-reviewed journal articles and reports and the like, documenting the human health disaster taking place in the mountaintop removal sacrifice zone. And like I said, and those reports have been out for a while, and it took us something on the order of 10 years not to get Joe Manchin to acknowledge that those reports were correct. It took us 10 years to get him to acknowledge that they exist. So we've got some experience along those lines, and it's not just Coal River Mountain Watch. It's the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition. It's the Highlands Conservancy. It's Sierra in West Virginia. Everybody has been involved to one degree or another in those kinds of efforts. We've sat, we've talked. You know, I told you, you know, he gets these words and he hangs on to them like balance. And for years we said, listen, we got to stop killing people. And he said, oh, but we've got to balance that against jobs. You know, as I've mentioned before, there are so many dead people under the ground of West Virginia that I'd say we're overbalanced on the in terms of the scales of justice relative to the coal industry. But I'm, like I said, I'll be, and then back Tuesday and probably have a lot to talk about in that regard. Okay? Yeah. And so, the program, we'll get to all manner of madness and religious flummery. But Warren's Wild. Robin! Oh, it's not every day Jeffrey starts the thing. What? Truett Cathy is dead? Well, I did not know that. What, did he get decaffeinated? Oh, for pity's sakes. The founder of Chick-fil-A, Truitt. Did he get decaffeinated, by the way? How's Rush Limbaugh doing these days? Still dead! What was that I heard you say last night, Robin? Prescott Bush supported Planned Parenthood in Connecticut? Will wonders never cease? Speaking of wonders, Steve in New York wondered last night how the banality of evil Hitler himself could spend his life in so many heavenly-looking resorts. Well, Steve, Hitler's in Hell's Kitchen, hopefully roasting for all eternity. However, Prescott Bush not only supported Planned Parenthood, but he always supported Hitler, as Prescott Bush was on the board of a bank called Brown Brothers Harriman, which money laundered for the Third Reich. It is interesting that Prescott Bush supported Planned Parenthood because his grandson, W., this week back in 2007, vetoed funding for stem cell research for the second time because he believed stem cell research crossed the moral line. Oh, but that phony fake war in Iraq that killed an estimated 1 million Iraqis was just morally fine. You know, I'm only a giraffe, but it seems to me that somehow the Bush family and morality should never be used in the same sentence. True that, Jeffrey. Speaking of morals, it was on this day in 1954 that Army Special Counsel Joseph N. Welch berated Senator Joseph R. McCarthy, R., Wisconsin, asking, "Have you no sense of decency, sir? At long last, have you left no sense of decency?" Jeffrey and I are just hoping somebody, oh, let's say Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, or hell, even House of Representatives Tim Ryan of Warren, Ohio, confronts Joe Manchin in a public forum with those exact same sentiments before this country loses its democracy and our infrastructure literally falls down. Somebody say Warren. Oh, and what do you know? Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, Orange County, California, is retiring from his post as lead pastor. I never cared for Warren, even when he did pray for Obama at his inaugural. Jeffrey, by the way, has a prayerful thought on this prayer meeting Wednesday. "I did not find Rick Warren's prayer for Obama at the inaugural to be very sincere. I believe for Warren this was just another photo op and more of a publicity stunt to sell another book." Well, what did he write? Rick Warren wrote, what was it? The Porpoise-Driven Life? Is it something involving a dolphin? Well, the good news is Warren's not one of those money-grubbing pastors who does religion for a fast buck. Hell, Warren is only worth a paltry $25 million. Now, of course, Robin, we know who is the richest preacher in the land is. That's correct. Kenneth Copeland, worth $300 million. So Copeland can do his famous "Joe Biden won't be president" laugh. Ha, 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 all the way to the bank. And speaking of one Warren, I think that deserves a couple more Warrens, because on this day in 1969, the Senate confirmed Warren Burger to be the new Chief Justice of the United States, succeeding Earl Warren. They replaced one Warren with another Warren, so to be sure to... Wait for it. Yes, the Senate replaced one Warren with another Warren, so to be sure to have an extended warranty. Oh, it hurts. It just hurts. This has been Joey's Journal for Prayer Meeting Wednesday, the 9th day of June, 2021, with Giraffey hoping there's a warrant for the arrest of Donald J. Trump. And there's a $10 warranty Wednesday challenge on the table, too. So that makes $172 worth of challenges that would do great good if we could meet them, please. Thank you. And so, yes, Ralph, a female pastor is still called a pastor, unless she's being called a heathen or a... Damned female who led to the downfall of human. Did you ever bother thinking about how freaking boring Eden must have been? Because the no pain without pleasure, no joy without grief duality is real. How did Adam and Eve even know that they were how did they know they were even alive? Yeah. And then there's the conundrum that comes with pondering the fact that Genesis says that the first woman was made from the rib of the first man, which means the first woman had male DNA. Now, this is unscientific gobbledygook, but, you know, it's... That's what they claim. You know, Brother Deacon Asa said, and Billable Rick are on the same page. Brother Deacon Asa said, "Can we give Robin a cowbell for the porpoise-driven life already? Who do we got to see to get more cowbell around here?" And Billable Rick says, "Cowbell for you, Rick Warren's book, The Porpoise-Driven Life." Okay, I'll take it. They call him Flipper, Flipper Fest. No singing. There's a fundraising deficit. Right. I had a couple of nice notes along the way, by the way. Heard from Clayton. Clayton said, "Over the past week, them's fake babes. Probably one of the funniest things I've heard all year. That's up there with It's Not About the Cat and May Live in Horn Infamy." Thank you for your kind note, Clayton. Thank you so very much. Clayton listens by a podcast and said, "I'm all caught up to all the way to last night. I'm listening to last night as I type. Some funny and heartwarming stuff in the last few weeks. A little bit of sad, too. But I'm glad that a listening ear and community helps us to pull through. Sounds like May has been a bit sandpapery for a lot of us." That's a great term. It's been sandpapery. But, in spite of worrying about the other shoe dropping with the American Fascist Party, a.k.a. Republicans, and armed maggots everywhere, and remembering my late friend who took his life's birthday, it's been a good start to June. So cheers to Tracy and Darlene and Dave and the Blind, who's been on my heart. I'm glad they're all doing okay. So, Clayton says, "Enjoy the summer and awesome summer food. Thanks for the correspondence, Auntie Robin." Thank you, Clayton. Thank you so much. And a nice note earlier from Mike in Cascadia. "Your words last night about the Wuhan lab canard were some of the most powerful I've ever heard from you." Thank you. Thank you. And points out that, if you want to, I've been on Ian Masters' program before, Mike. If you want to send Ian a note and say, "Hey, get Robin on. She actually lives there and has been following Joe Manchin for a while." That's why Brad Friedman reached out to me to set up a conversation earlier today. I guess I really am becoming the Manchin whisperer. I don't know how I feel about that, but, well, when it's in you and it's in the situation. Irwin noting, "With the name Manchin, did Joe realize that he must back in the money by any means to live in a mansion? This has probably already been discussed on your program." Well, I think they started out as the Mancinis. But like so many people who immigrated to the United States from other countries, their name got changed to make it more Merkin sounding. The anti-Italian bigotry, the anti-Irish bigotry, the anti-everybody bigotry was horrifying at one time or another. As other historians and anthropologists have pointed out, the concept of whiteness is a fluid one. Because at one point in time, Italian immigrants weren't white. Irish immigrants weren't white. Jewish immigrants from Eastern Europe and generally weren't white. You know, that's why when the Klan got fired up, yes, they hated black people, but they also hated Catholics, Italians, Jews, you know, anybody who wasn't within their definition of the Venn diagram of whiteness. So that. Thanks, Irwin. Thank you. Now, back to prayer meeting Wednesday. I've been hanging on to this one story because, my God, every now and then you run across a story that just reminds you of how God-awful the religion industry can be. And when it merges with the judicial system, it gets awful. So here we go. Wayne Arum. It's always the youth pastor, isn't it? Wayne Arum was a youth pastor at a church named The Chapel in the greater Buffalo, New York area back during the 1990s. He later on served as president at Circle C Ranch in western New York. Once again, another story that touches upon these grifty religious operations that purport to be havens for children in crisis. Well, when he was president at Circle C Ranch in rural western New York, he was engaged in, according to an investigation by the USA Today Network, inappropriate touching of young girls. Some of them were camp staffers. Others were, and I guess this was more of a camp as opposed to a foster care ranch. Some of the girls went to the churches in the area, and USA Today reached out to some 14 women, now grown, and they confirmed his skeevy, gross, Christian rapiness, perviness. And 19 other people interviewed by USA Today's network said that they personally witnessed what this guy did or heard about him. And since and complaints have been piling up on this creep since at least 1997. But, dude is still in a leadership position. And this is part of a larger conversation because there was a lengthy piece at The Atlantic about the crisis within the evangelical community. One of these days, people are going to start referring to them as evangelicals, and that's mine, and I just want credit for that. The Southern Baptist Church lost its head of its ethics and religious liberty, or whatever it was they called it. And he resigned over two things: the racism that still remains rampant inside the Southern Baptist Church, coupled with the fact that the Southern Baptist Church apparently has a habit of covering for nasty, skeevy, disgusting, pervy Southern Baptist leaders who like to sexually abuse women. And the Atlantic article said it is tearing the evangelical movement apart. Well, good. I hope they tear it all to pieces. If you want, it's at usatoday.com. This article about this Wayne Arum character. More than a dozen women across the U.S. say New York Christian camp leader abused them as teens. He ran his hands over her shorts and up her thigh toward her crotch and slid. Oh, Jesus Christ. The young woman said, "I honestly didn't even know what was happening to me. He was definitely grooming me. I didn't realize how absolutely brainwashing it was." He's 55 now, and he still enjoys a leadership position inside that good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian organization. At least 20 times the church has been warned or complained to about his skeevy perviness since 1997. And bupkis. Circle C Ranch even had a policy about bodily contact with people of the opposite sex. They put it in their Circle C Ten Commandments. Brother Aram, I guess it didn't apply to him. Another woman said she was 17 when this follower of Christ, this pastor of the flock, pinned her 17-year-old body to a church pew inside the chapel on site at Circle C Ranch. And at the time, the young woman was a camp counselor, and he harangued and berated her until she confessed that she had watched porn when she was 13 years old. Ugh. And of course, they hide there. They hide inside authoritarian religious structures like this. It isn't just the Roman Catholic Church. No. And it goes on and on and on. It's a little sickening for the... I don't want to ruin dinner just now. But if that's bad, this is worse. And we have to go to Talabama, the most puissant and Christian state of Talabama, to look in on the case of Mac Charles Andrews. Mac Charles Andrews, 61 years old. And he was sentenced to 15 years for sexual abuse of children. He went in when he was 56. He's out. He only served 5.5 years of the 15 years he was put in prison for, and he should have been put in prison for life. The district attorney in the case, one Spencer B. Walker, said, Mac Andrews got credit for good behavior, and he told us he plans to move to Texas and start another church, and he'll have to register as a sex offender for the rest of his life. Good God. He raped one little girl when she was 7 years old on her father's grave. I'm sorry, she was nine. He raped her from when she was seven to when she was 12. He was the pastor of the United Pentecostal Church in Thomasville, Alabama. And of course, all he has to do is say, "Forgive me, Jesus," and Jesus says, "We're good." And the things that get said to little children. Filmmaker Shay Walker is the little girl who was raped from age 7 to age 12. She's the one that he raped on her father's grave. And speaking to AL.com, she said, "He told me if I didn't say anything, he would come back and put flowers on the grave. If I told anyone, he said demons would come and get me from my bed." So back in 2013, they arrested him on lots of counts of rape and sexual abuse and attempted rape and sodomy and sexual torture. Yeah, And so they arrested him in 2013. Let's do some ciphering here. This is 2021. He served 5 years. That's 2000. So it took from 2013 to 2015 to get something resembling justice. Imagine that. You rape a little girl. I mean, not you. A man, a Christian, rapes a little girl from the age of 7 to the age of 12, threatens her with supernatural punishment, and there's no question about any of it, and all he got was 15 years. And now he's on the street. And he's going to go to Texas and start another church because the First Amendment is nothing more than a life support system for the religion industry grift. Better watch out where he goes in Texas and don't let your children anywhere near him. Any more than somebody should let their children near. What was the teacher's name who got reinstated? Byron Tanner Cross? Yeah, don't let your kids near him either. Because he's an abusive, but at least he's not raping 7-year-olds. Yet. But here's the thing. When somebody's getting, and by the way, the reason he got out of prison early, he said his diabetes was out of control. Because it was his uncontrollable diabetes that affected his mind when he signed the plea agreement because he pled out. The stress level the defendant was under being handcuffed and in a holding cell at such an important decision was beyond extraordinary. And so, being as how he was white and Christian, they let him out. On good behavior. You know, I think when you go to prison for raping children, that good behavior thing should probably go out the window. Because you're never going to be able to overcome the bad behavior with any good behavior in the stir. Ben? Well, it's the peace that passeth all understanding. It is the grace that fell upon Brother Andrews from the cross. Jesus, what makes me think this is going to wind up being a drive-by trucker song? But when you're going to let somebody out, you're supposed to actually let the victims know. Nah, sorry, no. No, Spencer didn't bother to let any of his victims know that he was going to be let out because, well, then they might have complained. And you know how it is when them women and rape victims get all hysterical and whatnot. Nah, I'm in total agreement. Never mind the sex offender registry. Ralphs wants to know, can an R for rapist be branded on his forehead? I could be okay with that. Darlene in Connecticut says, I'm all for this bastard being castrated. No local anesthetic. I want him to feel the pain he perpetrated on all those young girls, but it still won't be enough. 15 years wouldn't have been enough. But, you know, they needed, he was a white guy, and they needed to clear his bunk out and make room for some small-time criminal with considerably darker skin. Sure. And since we're in Talavama, let's check in, shall we? Matt says, oh, God, on her father's grave? He should have gotten another 15 years just for that.
Get a rope!
Yeah.
But, you know, the state of Alabama spends a lot of money keeping prisoners in prison. And when it's a good Christian man, we don't want to keep him any longer than necessary, and we'll give him credit for time served.
I just, honest to God, do not understand how anybody... Well, but I've said that before, so... Yeah. Oh, well.
But we're, you know, while we're in Talabama, let's check in with Mo Brooks, Les Brames.
Mo is feeling all butch about right now because he's pissed off that Eric Swalwell's process servers served his wife with that... it was the complaint. You were right, Steve, in New York. And it wasn't a subpoena.
But they served his wife, and the video came out, you know, proving that Mo Brooks, Les Brames, was lying. At no point in time did the process server accost Mrs. Brooks.
Dear God, can you imagine spending your life with Mo Brooks, Les Brames?
Whoof!
There was no accosting going on. But Mo Brooks, Les Brames, was terribly upset, and it offended his Slytherin sensibilities.
And so now that he's been served, and legally served, and properly served, Mo Brooks, Les Brames, is questioning... Now, Mo Brooks, Les Brames, spent months running like a little bitch from being served with the complaint. But like I said, he's feeling all butch now. And they got him over on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, to insult the manhood of Eric Swalwell, who could probably... you know, render a pretty good stomping of Mo Brooks, Les Brames, who, let's remember, was a ringleader in inciting the insurrection of January the 6th, in which 5 people died. Yeah. Let's check in on the Wambulance, shall we? Yeah, hold on here. It gets a little complicated. There we go.
The way Eric Swalwell should have been a man about it and served me on a number of occasions in Washington when he had that opportunity, but instead he took the dishonorable path and went after my wife.
That was on Frau Ingram's program on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. You may have heard Frau Ingram declaring, he's a creep.
He should be a man about it and serve me a number of times.
Well, the process served, no. And by the way, Representative Swalwell could not serve Mo Brooks, even if he was on, if they were in the well of the House together, because... And apparently Mo Brooks, maybe he knows this, I don't know, does he? He certainly went out and found the criminal trespass statute for the state of Alabama, not that it applies. But he doesn't know that it is not legal for one party to a lawsuit to sue the other party in the lawsuit. This is a rule that developed so that the parties will not come to blows and perhaps duel or, you know, sword fight or pull pistols or throw hands, as the young ones say now. Mo Brooks, Les Brames, Steve in New York, Alabama. This is the state where nearly 50% of the populace voted for a creepy little girl watcher and mall walker.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of gave that concept from Game of Thrones of the White Walkers an entirely new definition. But he should be a man. Mo, Representative Swalwell is about a million times the man you ever were or ever will be. You treasonous little pissant. But that's me. Yeah. Oh, and last night we touched briefly on the issue of Attorney General Merrick Garland deciding to defend Donald J. Trump and his slander of E. Jean Carroll while in office. Well, there's been a further development. Did I say sue? I meant serve. Okay, correction. Stephen, New York says, you said it was not legal for a party to personally sue another party. I know you meant serve another party, but the less lawyerly brainwashed might not know the fox paws. Yes, fox paws. Good. I thought I said serve. I get ahead of myself sometimes. But, yeah, it's not legal. A party, no, you've got to have service by a non-party upon the other party. No, 2 days in a row now, we get news of how this attorney general is viewing his job. And to say the very least, this latest, if the other was disturbing, this is equally so, if not more. And for the life of me, I'm kind of stymied and flummoxed by all this. The Attorney General's Office of the United States has announced that they will vigorously defend and that was their word, vigorously, the right of religion industry schools to discriminate against LGBTQ kids. There are, in point of fact, 40 LGBTQ students who are suing the Department of Education because the Department of Education is allowing faith-based colleges to discriminate against them, even though these faith-based colleges get federal money. That that used to be the break point. You could get away with just about anything as long as you weren't taking federal dollars. But the minute that you took Caesar's coin, you did Caesar's bidding. You know, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Generally speaking, the laws against discrimination, you would think, would be controlling in this, and that is what that would be what the Justice Department would focus on. But no, this Justice Department is going to defend these creepy religious schools, these religious colleges, discrimination against students who attend their colleges and happen to be LGBTQ. And you know, it's entirely possible that a kid could start one of these religious schools because they've been raised religious, whatever, and they get there and they're young adults out on their own, and as the saying goes in the trans community, their egg cracks.
and they realize that they're not cis. And these colleges get to discriminate against them. But it also applies if they come to the realization that they're lesbian, gay, bi, queer, queer questioning, intersexed, asexual. And the Biden Justice Department, which is, you know, it's not like he's making calls every day. Nitwit Nero did that shit. It's not supposed to happen, but he did it. And this flies in the face, among other things, and this is what I don't understand. And again, I do not want to let the perfect be the enemy of the good. But when you take this in pari materia, as the Solons say, with the word out that the Justice Department's also gonna try to give Nitwit Nero a pass for slandering E. Jean Carroll, it presents a disturbing picture of the Attorney General, more so than it does Joe Biden. And it kind of, frankly, I mean, there's no way that Ann's boy Neil is a better justice than Merrick Garland would have been. But he was not going to be any sort of justice resembling Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and I think, or even... Justice, any of the former liberal justices, Justice Brennan comes to mind. He wasn't going to be that. And you wonder what kind of justice he would have been. But the thing is, President Biden has said plainly and strongly that he supports passage of the LGBTQ Equality Act. It has been described as one of his top priorities. And it's going to come to the floor, apparently, according to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, it's going to come to the floor this month for a vote during Pride Month. And then we can watch Joe Manchin and 50 Republicans shit on the rights of a marginalized community that is routinely discriminated against. This may wind up being a rough month. This may be one of the roughest prides in a while. How do you do this? Yeah, I think we can say that at the very least. Flavio asks, can we at least say that a disturbing pattern is emerging with Merrick Garland? I think we would be self-deluding if we did not say that. And meanwhile, those six maniacs on the Supreme Court will likely hand down a decision this month in the case of a Christian adoption agency that has a SAD because the city of Philadelphia canceled their contract with the city because the Christian adoption agency said that it absolutely refused to work with LGBTQ couples that wanted to adopt children, you know, who desperately need homes. God Almighty. And you know how that's going to come down. Hell, maybe they'll let Amy Coed Barrett, Justice Handmaid, write about how Christians are so much better parents. Oblivious to the fact that many members of the LGBTQ community are Christians. And better Christians by far than, say, the folks who might have attended, say, the First Pentecostal Church of Thomasville, Alabama, where their preacher raped a little girl on her daddy's grave. Mm-hmm. And the DOJ has promised, according to an article in the Washington Post, that, quote, it can vigorously defend a religious exemption from federal civil rights law that allows federally funded religious schools to discriminate against LGBTQ students. Well, some LGBTQ advocates were, according to the Post, surprised. They were surprised by the adverb. It's one thing to say, well, you know, this is our job, we'll defend it. It's another to throw that adverb in there and say that we're going to do so vigorously. And this is even a departure from Eric Holder, for God's sakes. The guy who was the corporate lawyer for Chiquita Banana, who worked out a plea deal with the W. Bush administration to let corporate board members who were up to their eyeballs in a murder scheme against union organizers in, I believe, Colombia. Even he would not defend aspects of the Defense of Marriage Act. Yeah, it's disheartening, and I'm sure that the Republicans and the various white, and I do mean white wing, religion industry are giggling merrily at this. Don't worry though, they'll still swear up and down that Merrick Garland is a communist pinko Rosicrucian Illuminati, Bohemian Grover, Jew, who, you know, killed Christ. The Washington Post article says, in the filing, the Biden administration said it shares the same ultimate objective as the Christian schools named in the case. Namely, to preserve their right to shit. In the name of Jesus! On LGBTQ kids. Paul Carlos Southwick, who runs the Religious Exemption Accountability Project, and they filed the case on behalf of dozens of current and past students at conservative religious colleges, universities. Paul Carlos Southwick said, what this means is that the government is now aligning itself with anti-LGBTQ hate in order to vigorously defend an exemption that everyone knows causes severe harm to LGBTQ students using taxpayer money. It will make our case harder if the federal government plans to vigorously defend it like they've indicated. Imagine that, some portion of your tax dollars going to religion industry schools. That shouldn't happen in the first place, First Amendment, Establishment Clause. They shouldn't be getting the money, but then again, the religious maniacs on the Supreme Court had a SAD and said it's absolutely necessary to give government money. And they overturned, a Montana statute to do it. They absolutely, that it's unconstitutional to give money to secular schools, public schools, but not give it to religious schools, too. And they pogo sticked up onto the cross to say that, this thing was made into a law as a matter of anti-Catholic bigotry. No! It was actually enacted as a matter of respect and defense of the First Amendment, saying that the government should not be supporting any religions in any way. Well, that ship sailed. The horse is out of that barn. And so we can pretty well guess when that gets to the Supreme Court how that'll be ruled on. Oh, and by the way, who's involved in the case? Naturally, it's the Alliance Defending Freedom. That 501c3 grift that provides free lawyers to butthurt organizations, butthurt religion industry organizations that want to further theocratize the last tattered remnant shreds of anything that we recognize as separation of church and state. Stephen New York notes, Pride has, over the past 10 to 15 years, morphed into more of a celebration than protest, given the tenor of societal acceptance of LGBT folk. Something tells me that the current trend may just cause a change in course and return Pride more to a protest tenor. Remember, already, that New York City Pride, the organization that runs it, is called Heritage of Pride, will not allow the gay police group Gay Officers Action League goal to march, and says it wants to keep NYPD at least a block from the parade route, and Heritage of Pride will pay for its own security where the NYPD used to. It could be, says Steve, that things might get a little bit more protestish, and I think that I'm very new to all of this, but it seems like it might be a good idea if its protest roots were restored, and, well, stories like that will add fuel to the fire. As to the rapist preacher down in Talabama, Flavio says, I'm surprised that child rapist wasn't garroted in prison by another inmate. Well, yeah, but see, he was a preacher, and he could tell people, you know, you'll go to hell if you'll go to hell if you shank me here in the stir, because I may be a child rapist, but I've been forgiven by Jesus, by the grace of the blood of Christ. And, you know, I'll tell him, and he'll send you right to hell if you hurt me. And back to Mo Brooks, Les Brames. Why isn't anyone, Darlene in Connecticut asks, pointing out that Mo is not a real man? He's such a coward, he had his wife served with the papers. Mo's the wuss. And I don't feel sorry for his dumbass wife either. But Mo is deflecting onto Swalwell, and Fox News provided a willing and supportive platform for him to do it. Well, of course, yeah, because like I said, Frau Engram. Mm-hmm. And we have crossed the first hour of the program. Last night was a three-hour filibobster. Filibobster. See, even I do it. This is, however, a conversation program. And if you would like to add your voice to that conversation, you're more than welcome. The stress line is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. You can also reach the program at 304-574-8178 or via Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. I know there's ways to change these handles because, you know, Bob's gone. I just haven't figured out how. And I need to do the same thing over at Twitter. Facebook was fairly easy. Everything else seems a bit complicated. But let's run over to the stress line and check in, see what's going on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Robin, it's Dave from the Blind.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm good. I called to remind the Attorney General Garland not to poke her stick up on the cross for these religious freaks, because we don't have any crucifixion specialists available to assist him.
Are they all out with the Rona? I don't
think he can. Well, no, we've been busy. I mean, this is Talibandiana. And I don't have any technicians available, Robin. I wish I did. I could make some real fake money that way.
Oh, that's the absolute truth. And in fact, I've got a Talibandiana story for you right here.
Oh, good. Okay, hit me with it.
And I imagine this young man will be featured on
Newsmuck and Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, and Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, because he was standing
up.
He'll be a self-crucifier.
Oh, no. No, no.
I hit the microphone. He had gotten him. He wasn't one of these. He's one of these good boys. He's not one of these layabouts that don't want to go to work. Because he'd gotten him a job in Lafayette, Indiana, or Lafayette.
Yeah.
He'd got him
Lafayette.
He'd gotten him a job at the Arby's. And so he was there working at the Arby's one day, and John Burns went to Arby's with his partner, Craig Gray, and ordered up a brisket sandwich, no mayo. And the kid, can I have a name, please? And you say, John, and they input it. And so that way, and you can see it on your receipt. Only the kid,
right. Only
the kid did not type in the name John.
Let me guess. He put in some expletive that would offend?
He put in a three-letter word that used to be a slang term for it.
Bag?
Yeah, I don't even like to use it, but yeah, that's what he put in there.
Oh. Okay, so he put down a burning stick and...
Well, then fucked up and handed them the receipt.
Oh, no.
And there's there's a happy ending to this, because the kid got fired lickety-split.
Really?
But that's how I know that's how I know he's going to become a crucified martyr of the right. Probably taken down by the BLM Antifa. LGBTQ mafia.
We've been kicking around an idea for a gag gift for all the crookers out there. We make up a nice cross, but we make it fireproof so they can't light it.
You know, that's good
thinking. Kind of like those soaps.
That's good thinking, because they're prone to doing that.
Right. They take perfectly good crosses and burn them, those wasteful bastards. So the boys down at the shop figured, well, we can make it out of fireproof material, send it to them, film it, and laugh all the way to the bank.
Are they getting a daily double by using asbestos for the fireproofing material?
No, because they need that for their going away hoods, so that when they show up in hell, they got something to protect them.
Well, that's just so damn thoughtful.
We're thinking of using stainless steel covering or something, and just, make it look like wood. And then when they try to burn it, it just won't light.
Yeah, but if they're up on it, the infrared effect is going to be hell.
Well, evidently, back in the 30s, they tried to burn a Catholic church in my hometown. And this is a big brick church that was built in the 1870s. And these assholes couldn't even get the fire lit. So, and the neighborhood around there, Muncie was famous for something called the Middletown Marketing Study, because it wasn't too white, it wasn't too black, it wasn't too Christian, it wasn't too Jewish. There were the right amount of Protestants versus Catholics. It was just middle of the road, damn near down the line. So they used it for a marketing study. It was called the Middletown Marketing Study. And for years, it's been like that. And the neighborhood that St. Lawrence, that's the church they tried to burn, is in the, smack dab in the middle of an area that has a lot of black folks that live there, a lot of Catholics, and a lot of Jews that live in the same neighborhood, because a couple blocks away is a synagogue. And I remember them telling me stories when I was a kid about this. And so I think we ought to send them fireproof crosses for their next cross burning. I mean, they've already proven they can't start a fire without help. So I figure, why not? The thing is, I cannot believe that the Justice Department is vigorously defending these.
Yeah, isn't that just isn't that adverb just devilish in that context?
Well, the thing is, normally, like you say, they say, "Well, it's our job to defend it," and then they kind of yawn it in, and you know, the motions get filed on the very last day, and things like that. You know how that stuff works. Or, "Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor, we forgot." I mean, that happened with George W.
Bush. Yeah, whoops, the baby. I do believe happened. I've forgotten my pudge. Yeah, that Bugs Bunny moment. Yeah.
That happened with George W. Bush at the end of his term. There was a case against, and he used to be my senator when I lived in Alaska, Ted Stevens. There was a case against Ted Stevens on corruption, and I think purposely fucked it up so that when Bush left office, Obama would have to go in and say, "Your Honor, we request that you dismiss this case because the previous administration had screwed up on some of the handling of some of the evidence." So the grifter from Alaska got away with it while his son, who was the Speaker of the House in Alaska, was under indictment for the same scheme. It was just very tawdry. And I'm beginning to wonder what in the world Garland is thinking, because this isn't a religious issue. This is a political issue. I very seriously doubt that if, I mean, as long as they're closeted, they would be all right, but who wants that? You know, you shouldn't have to be. And if you're doing your job, you shouldn't have a problem. We had a problem here in Indianapolis where two openly queer teachers had gotten fired after years of service at a Jesuit high school. And the state of Indiana backed them up, of course, backed up the school, not the teachers. God forbid qualified teachers should actually be allowed to teach. One woman got fired when she announced to her colleagues that she'd gotten married. And it was who she married that the school objected to. There's been a lot of this quiet discrimination. Years ago, there was a case in Marion County, that's where Indianapolis is, where a Wiccan couple were getting a divorce, and the judge ordered them that they could not instruct their child in their faith. Because they were afraid, the court was afraid that the child would be exposed to naked people. The state Supreme Court reversed that decision rather quickly and said, no, you can't tell parents who are in agreement how they're going to raise their child religiously. So there's a long tradition of this stuff. I'm surprised they don't nominate the ghost of D.C. Stevenson for president of the United States. Or he would have backed up the insurrectionists. He was the grand dragon of the Ku Klux Klan in the late 20s. And then later, credibly accused of raping a 16-year-old girl in Alabama. Of course, he got away with that. I think he died in like 73.
Of course.
But that way, and they talk about real Americans, and that's right out of the Klan's book, you know, because when I was doing research on the Historical Marker Project, which I've talked about on this program before, I kept seeing, you know, real Americans and posters with, you know, Klansmen on horseback, like out of Birth of a Nation, which doesn't surprise me, considering that's where they got the idea for cross burning. I also ran into letters from the man who carved Mount Rushmore, Borglum, who was an interesting character. His father was a fundamentalist woman who had wives that were both sisters. So it was just, and he was a racist asshole. Because he wrote a letter to Stevenson saying, well, you said what needed to be said. And I don't know why it is. I continually call on Wednesdays, it seems, but there it is. A quick update on Christine.
I was going
to ask. She can now see patterns on the cat. She called me yesterday all excited because she could tell the patterns on one of the cats. She has a reverse calico, a dirty calico. And she can see the pattern on her.
Is that a calico with no white?
No, that's a calico that's got a tan on the head, and it's kind of like the markings are muted. And they're a little bit off, but she's still a calico.
Okay, I was thinking.
Dirty calicos.
Yeah, I was thinking about our little tortoiseshell, Lucy Purr.
Lucy Purr, I told Christine about Lucy Purr, and Lucy Purr has a fan. Unfortunately, Christine isn't feeling well this week. Readjusting to being back home, I suppose.
And you know what? That's going to be that's got to be a bit of a shock.
Yeah. But she's doing well. She's eating well. She went out with a friend a few nights ago to hang out with some of her poker buddies. And her sister was waiting on them when they got home because she had left her phone at home.
So she had to gently set my sister-in-law down and explain how things were going to go. You know, that, no, I told you I was going out. And Christine was afraid of leaving her phone in the bar and not realizing it, because she was going to be around plenty of people who had phones. If she needed help, she could have gotten help instantly. So she didn't feel the need to carry the phone. And, but she's doing much better. I grew more concerned the more I heard about the way the nursing home had treated her. And their excuse constantly is, well, we're short-staffed because of COVID. Well, you know, it doesn't take that much to bathe a person. So this whole twice-a-week thing is for the birds. You know.
I do.
I told Christine she should have reported them to the state, and I was willing to I gave her the number to the state's disability rights agency and told her if she wanted them investigated, she could call them and they could open an investigation. Because if they're doing it to her, Robin, they're doing it to others.
Damn straight.
And all because they're cheap bastards.
Are they Republicans?
If I was a betting man being here in Taliban, Indiana, Robin, yeah, probably.
Ta-da.
Because as far back as I can... As far as I can remember, even the Democrats in this state are Republicans.
Just to go back for a minute to the story of that hateful young man in Arby's in Lafayette. It always amazes me that, you know, so oftentimes it's the case that the people who are discriminated against, the people who are hurt, the people who are slurred, are more decent about it by far, excuse me, that's the nick-ups, more decent about it by far than, of course, the people perpetrating it. So John Burns, the guy who got slurred, reflecting on it all, said, you know, this young man's learned this behavior somewhere. You know, there are some people out there that don't get people out there like this, and that's wrong. And it's so true, but I mean, when you've got an entire dominant culture that's that way, the president for Pride Lafayette is named Ashley Smith, and said, "What did this person think when he did this? He or she?" Did they feel like they got fired because they got in trouble or got told on by some customers? Do they realize the gravity of what they did? You know, if you're not LGBTQ, if you're an ally, if you have to stand up if you see something. You stand up and you say this is not okay. What else can be done in the moment if you see this happen? You can't just ignore it. But
well, there was a situation. When I lived in Bloomington, when Christine and I lived in Bloomington, I went to a PFLAG Meet the Candidates night. They had local politicians come in, both Republican and Democrat, and even a Libertarian that was running as a Libertarian, not as a Republican in the Libertarian camp. And one appearance there that night normally gives out a business card because she's involved with PFLAG over the years. And she handed a card to an airline ticket purse clerk. And he looked at it, and he looked at her ID and typed a few things in and said, "Ma'am, we've upgraded you to first class." And she said, "Oh, thank you." And the man looked at her and said, "No, ma'am, thank you."
Nice.
It was one of those things, you know, where somebody was just showing their appreciation for the things a total stranger had done. And that's what I feel if, when Pride comes around every year, for me, is those kinds of things and those kinds of people that you meet. And you're right. For years, it had more of a protest flavor to it, especially when the fight for marriage equality was going on. And I can see it turning back to its roots.
I have a feeling, given its druthers, the Supreme Court will drive it back to its roots.
Well, if that means we got to stonewall it all over again, I know some people that are in for that fight. I recently heard an interview on a podcast of one of the Stonewall veterans, you know, one of the people that was there when the cops raided them. And she said that, you know, it's often thought of or told, the story's told that the Stonewall was a drag bar. She said it wasn't a drag bar. I just happened to be in drag that night. And that was kind of an interesting story. Unfortunately, she had died. Ray Rivera was her name. And she told the story about being there when the cops came in to get their payoff. And they started throwing pennies, nickels, and dimes and quarters at the cops. "Here, you came in for your payoff. Here's a little more," kind of thing. And I thought, that's classic. I would love to have seen that. But things go around in circles, and if it's got to be done again, it's got to be done again. So... well, I hope everything is going well for the Horn Family Community Congregation. And by the way, A Purpose-Driven Life, I believe that was me a couple of years ago when I asked, and I apologize to the Dolphins in the Horn Community Congregation who might have been listening.
Might very well have been.
I feel it was... appropriate, and I'm not asking for your cowbells to be gnared. So have fun. Enjoy. Now, is Pride Beckley this weekend?
Yes, it is this Saturday.
Well, enjoy yourself. You're going to have a great time.
I hope so, and I'm sure there'll be some barking, grunting, hooting religious maniacs somewhere nearby, barking, hooting, barking, howling, and grunting, and yeah. But I will try to behave in ladylike fashion.
Well, that's all we can hope for, Robin. After all, your play well with others grade is on the line here. So, keep that in mind, young lady.
I will
talk to you later, Robin.
I will do my best, and please give Christine our very, very best, Dave, and you know, our best to you for all that you're doing for her. That is just sweet and kind and loving.
I will.
And
well, it's nothing I wouldn't do for her normally. I don't feel I'm really going out of my way here. I mean, people think that because we're exes, we must be at war. No, we're not. We actually get along better now that we're divorced than we did when we were married.
You know, it happens that way sometimes.
It does. It does. And, you know, she doesn't feel like she's going to be ready. They want to ship her to Chicago on the 1st of July. And she's still having problems with her hands.
Well, son of a gun, the one time of year that Chicago gets hot.
Yeah, and she said, I don't think I'm going to be ready. So I'm thinking it might be more like September or October before she gets up there, which means she'd better lay on an extra winter coat. My sister used to live in Chicago, and she bought her a bunch of sweatshirts with hoods on them. And she said, Christine, you're going to need it. You are going to need it. Because that wind coming off the lake can be a pain.
Well, the late great Louis Grizzard said that there are only two seasons. And don't send me hate mail, Chicago, greater Chicagoland folks. The late, great Louis Grizzard said Chicago has only two seasons, dead of winter and 4th of July.
Yeah.
Which is very close to July the 1st.
And Christine's in menopause right now and suffering from hot flashes. My God, she'd be miserable.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll talk to you later, Robin.
All right, Dave, you take care. Tell the boys down to the shop to keep doing God's work.
Well, I don't want to get some of them started. They'll get into their work. I mean, we hit a record of over 100 crucifixions last weekend. There was a church group that came in.
I was wondering what the occasion was, but you know, yeah. It is Talibandiana.
Yeah. Well, and we had. It's not like we didn't have balloons and hot dogs for the kids, you know. But
there's a lot going on down here. Did you have the local radio station there to do a remote and one of the DJs in a clown suit?
Oh, you mean the local gospel station? No, I didn't actually think of that until afterward. But, you know, I think they would have thought I was making fun of them for some reason. I don't understand why. I mean, I'm a perfectly legitimate business.
Right, just like our phony baloney cathedral.
Exactly. And by the way, if you could slip in a notable blue-haired old ladies, could they make some no-bake chocolate oatmeal cookies?
Oh, damn! They make those commercially now, but they can't compare to when it's been made lovingly by a little old blue-haired lady.
No, it can't. There's a buttery texture to the homemade ones, because you know the little blue-haired ladies have taken their time with it. And that would be my request. I mean, I've saved up a couple of quarters. I can put some in the free roll offering.
Oh, you got that wouldn't be a problem. I'm trying not to eat a bunch of sweets and watch my diet, and now you got me thinking about those things, and that's just a hell of a thing to do, Dave.
Well, just keep walking your trail and
staying away from the sweets as much as possible. I'm sorry about making your life a living hell, Robert.
I can make your life a living hell. Dave, take care. Have a good night, my friend.
I will.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye. Our buddy Dave in the blind in Taliban, Indiana. By the way, I mentioned, BLM, Lafayette. Right. Well, it turns out, as Mike in Cascadia reminds us, BLM couldn't be in Lafayette. Maybe Antifa, but the BLM's been tasked by Louis Asparagus Gohmert to fix the climate crisis. This is, we really needed this on Moran Monday or Titanic Tuesday, but, well, we deal with it when it comes along. And so there was a hearing, a hearing about, well, I don't really know what... I don't know what Louis Asparagus Gohmert thought it was about, but get the hockey puck, okay? I mean, this is hockey puck as prophylaxis. You ready? A question for the oh, dear God.
And I understand from what's been testified to the Forest Service and the BLM, you want very much to work on the issue of climate change. I was... informed by the immediate past director of NASA that they have found that the moon's orbit is changing slightly, and so is the Earth's orbit around the sun. We know there's been significant solar flare activity. And so is there anything that the National Forest Service or BLM can do to change the course of the moon's orbit or the Earth's orbit around the sun? Obviously, that would have profound effects on our climate.
I would have to follow up with you on that one, Mr. Gohmert.
Yeah. Well, if you figure out a way that you in the Forest Service can make that change, I'd like to know. Also, just to...
That's enough, Louis. It's the two count that the witness takes before she says, well, I'd have to get back to you on that one, Mr. Gomer. And if only we could have a recording of what was going on in her head. What in the earnest fuck is this guy talking? I'm trying to figure out. I guess he thinks that climate change is because the Earth is wobbling and the moon is wobbling in orbit, and the only way we can stop climate change would be for the Forest Service and the BLM. No indication whether he thinks that's Bureau of Land Management or Black Lives Matter. We're short of on context there. Mr. Gohmert, if you'll stand up and flap your arms really fast, we can probably just take care of this right now. I was thinking the very same thing. Darlene in Connecticut says, I think Louis was doped up. I'm serious. Because he kind of did have that slow sort of just had a couple of Vicodins kind of mellowness to him. I know. The stupid. So do you remember last night we talked about the... We talked about Dr. Tinpot there at the Ohio House of Representatives hearings on freedom from vaccine discrimination. And she talked about how the 5G was making the magnetized particles in the vaccine make keys stick to people's heads. Remember that? Because I do. I kind of haven't been able to forget it. Well, at the same hearing, an anti-vaxxer nurse, and for the life of me, I'm trying to figure out how one is that. Why wasn't she sent to... Oh, never mind. That's cruel. An anti-vaxxer nurse stood up in defense of Dr. Tenpot, Tenpenny, whatever her name was, and wanted to demonstrate to those assembled the fact that, yes, by God, yes, a key will stick to a vaccinated person.
Yes, vaccines do harm people. By the way, so I just found out something when I was on lunch, and I wanted to show it to you. We were talking about Dr. Tenpenny's testimony about magnetic...
She found out about it on lunch. I guess she, you know, took 30 minutes to graduate from Google Medical School. Yeah, about those magnets.
I want to show it to you. We were talking about Dr. Tenpenny's testimony about magnetic vaccine crystals. So this is what I found out. So I have a key and a bobby pin here. Explain to me why the key sticks to me. It sticks to my neck, too.
Only it's not sticking to her neck.
I got those. Yeah, so if somebody can explain this, that would be great. Any questions?
And a couple of people are snickering in the background. Yeah, her bobby pin and her, let's see, her key, she pressed it tightly against her sternum, and the key stuck. I guess she's vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Vaccines do kill people. But when she, it'll stick to my neck too, but she's a little less sweaty and sticky than she was when she went to lunch. And the key wouldn't stick to her neck, so she downgraded to a bobby pin. Bobby pins, please. Oh, that's never going to hold. You're going to need a permanent amendment. And the bobby pin kind of stuck, but can, now this is a nurse. She's been to nursing school. Learned nursing stuff. But I guess maybe she didn't do the unit on dermatology or something, and she never heard of sebum. Because that's an oily substance that human primates, secrete from our sebaceous glands. You know, that's also why you can get sebaceous cysts when it gets clogged up and you... Yeah, you know the sound. And that coating will make stuff kind of, because you know my little butterfly necklace will kind of get stuck to me every now and then. Isn't it? Jesus, was it the vaccine? Oh, mother. But no. Nurse with keys and bobby pins, Jack in Shreveport says, someone should inform the nurse of the existence of duct tape. Yeah, what a lovely idea. But I love the certainty that she displays, the certainty brought from abiding stupidity.
I got those. Yeah, so if somebody can explain this, that would be great.
Yeah, stuck. The bobby pin stuck for a second, and then it fell off. And it'd be great. Yeah. Where's Scott when I need him? We're all screwed, Robin. Mm-hmm. But never mind, she's
She's magnetic. And she's a great dancer and has a wonderful personality. Oh, never mind. No, quit that. So, and so we're almost to the top of the third hour, and we are at Goose Egg on three separate challenges for the evening, unless I'm not getting my notifications from PayPal again. That's entirely possible. I'll check that. Thank you very kindly. Otto jumped in, as did Jeremy. Thank you both. So Joey and Giraffe's challenge was met, and now we have $71 out of 81. The Reverend Barber meet Joe Manchin, Joe Manchin meet Reverend Barber challenge, courtesy of Ralph's and the Marjorie Taylor Dimwit June 31st challenge, courtesy of Stephen New York. We'll just say that there's 40 to go on Ralph's challenge, and then 31 remaining on Steve's. And remember, it was a total of $750. Mm-hmm. Randy Radar pointing out a planetary alignment like that which occurred about two decades ago can affect the Earth's orbit, and a change of over 1% of the sun's energy can affect the Earth's climate. Of course, the increased carbon dioxide level in the atmosphere makes the atmosphere more opaque to the black body radiation emitted by a heated planet. Yeah, but the solar flares thing that Louis Asparagus Gohmert referred to has been a kind of a fetishy talking point of climate change deniers, Jesus, for a couple of decades at least. Yeah. Don't worry, Randy. Louis had no idea of, because Louis has no brains. Mm-hmm. And speaking of anti-vaxxing, there's a new anti-vaxxer movie out there. Oh, dear God. So, it features a Yale professor, a medical historian by the name of Naomi Rogers. And so, during the pandemic, the film crew for the documentary asked her to do a talking head interview for the film that was being made. And so the director sent a camera crew to her home in Connecticut. It was last fall. They were masked. They were wearing gloves. They did a thorough cleaning of the room, and then spent about an hour interviewing Naomi Rogers, and she talked about her research and her facts surrounding people like Dr. James Marion Sims, often considered one of the fathers of gynecology. But one of the things we know about Dr. James Marion Sims is that he experimented on enslaved black women in the 1800s, and there was no anesthesia. And she described her experience saying, "We were talking about issues of racism and experimentation, and they're all very real," and she said, "and they seem to be handled appropriately." And she said, well, she asked the film crew, well, you know, who else are you interviewing?
And then they got kind of sketchy. Kind of evasive or vague. Naomi Rogers said, well, they said there's a guy in New York, and we talked to somebody in New Jersey and California. She said, I thought it's so odd they wouldn't tell me who these people were. And then the film came out. And then she got an email from Children's Health Defense. And they were the ones hustling the film. Medical Racism, the New Apartheid. It's 57 minutes long. And that's when Naomi Rogers realized she had been had. She had been duped. She had been conned. She said, I was naive, certainly, in assuming that this was actually a documentary, which I would say it is not. I think it's an advocacy piece for anti-vaxxers. I'm still very angry. I feel that I was used. And guess who the head of Children's Health Defense is? Used to be a hero on our side. Now he's a bit of a nut. Or appears to be. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And he has become one of the leading voices, you know, having been banned from Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and the like. He is one of the lead voices of anti-vax, of the anti-vaxxers now. It's pathetic. It's sad, really. He did profoundly good work with water keepers and worked tirelessly to eliminate toxic waste and pollution in the waterways of America. Then he went off the deep end for reasons that aren't entirely clear. But what he's trying to do is keep African-American communities from being vaccinated. There's a passage in this stupid film that says, in black communities, something is very sinister. The same thing that happened in the 1930s during the eugenics movement is happening now. And they try to scare African-American communities into not getting vaccinated. You know, you'd almost think that was the racism. That it was a deliberate effort to make sure that a community isn't vaccinated and therefore is more likely to die. And it is... They talked Dr. Oliver Brooks into being in the film, too. He's the past president of the National Medical Association, which is it's the largest organization that represents African-American physicians. Well, he did the interview. Now he's seen the film, and wow, is he sorry. The crux of the documentary is generally don't get vaccinated. There is an understandable concern in the African-American community regarding vaccines. However, in the end, my position is that you look past those, have an understanding of those, and still get vaccinated. That nuance was not felt or presented in the documentary. This damn stupid thing has been out since March. And it will and can conceivably be directly responsible for the deaths of people. Ugh. NPR has the larger story. How does one make the moral case for trying to get people to put themselves at risk and die? I mean, isn't Bobby Kennedy in the same camp with the tobacco companies at this point? Because tobacco companies try to get people to use their products, get addicted, get heart disease, lung cancer, cardiopulmonary disorder, congestive heart failure, what have you. I mean, I'm not one of those people who is an ex-smoker. Is some sort of missionary zealot about other people smoking. But I've also never been, I've never been oblivious to just how vile the tobacco companies are. And they literally seek to get people to hurt themselves. And the addiction is so profound. Well, there's no addiction involved with trying to convince the black community to not get the vaccine. It's just, it's the kind of projection that we saw for 4 years out of Donald Trump. Whatever you're saying, they're doing the exact opposite. By urging the black community not to get vaccinated, they are elevating the risk that members of the black community will die at higher rates. We all already know that to be the truth. Remember early in the pandemic when there was at least some seriousness about it? Inside the maladministration. And then lo and behold, no sooner did the statistics come out that the disease was killing disproportionately in black and brown communities, then suddenly it was like, yeah, well, you know, whatever.
We got to reopen the schools. We got to get back in the malls. We got to start flying around America. People need to go to church.
You know, the church is one of the most powerful and cohesive institutions in black America, in many communities. One of the first places in West Virginia to see the horror of COVID-19 up close was black churches. I think it could be cogently argued that these people are actually trying to kill members of the black community. That's the racism. That is the eugenics. We're going to tell you about hateful behavior as a means of getting you, based on something in the past, not to trust things that are going on in the present. Jesus, it's sickening. And David in South Carolina, Stan, points something out, subject line COVID. I think this was part of Trump's election strategy. They knew good and damn well who was dying. Yeah, they knew it, and they liked it. It worked with their agenda. Oh, and going back to to Merrick Garland and the DOJ, the Enough is Enough Voter Project is trying to raise money and raise voices. The pitch on the email that I got, Biden's DOJ needs to stop defending Trump against his rape accuser. And they say, the Biden DOJ's defense of Trump in this case is terrifying for three reasons. Even after Me Too, Washington, D.C. still has a culture of letting political convenience trump accountability every time. The only way to change things is to enforce consequences. See Brett Kavanaugh and Matt Gaetz. I don't know how those I don't know that they suffered any consequences. A little bit of inconvenience. Two, the DOJ argues they are merely protecting the office of the president, but regardless of who sits in the Oval Office, lashing out at women who make credible rape allegations is not an executive power that needs defending. And they put three, all caps, bold. What if Donald Trump runs and wins in 2024? It's an interesting, well, it's a horrifying question. But here's an equally horrifying counter. I am aware of nothing in the Constitution that says a convicted felon can't be president. Because even with treason, the framers made sure to put in the body of the Constitution that it would not, it says it will not work corruption of the blood, or be, meaning it will not be enforced. The treason of a father will not be visited. The punishment will not be visited on the children or the grandchildren, etc. But that goes hand in hand with something that the Boston Globe did today that was a big deal. The Boston Globe, a major newspaper in this country, finally fell in line with us at the Horn. The editorial board of that paper said that Nitwit Nero needs to be criminally prosecuted for obstruction of justice, his efforts to overturn the election via Georgia, and for inciting the insurrection of January 6th. And they use some fairly strong language for a newspaper. There's only one way left to restore deterrence and convey to future presidents that the rule of law applies to them. The Justice Department must abandon two centuries of tradition by indicting and prosecuting Donald Trump for his conduct in office. And they pointed out that other states, other countries managed to do so without having having their country's governmental structures destroyed. France comes to mind. They wrote, "That's not a recommendation made lightly. The longstanding reluctance to prosecute former leaders is based on legitimate concerns about the justice system being used to settle political scores. But filing charges against former leaders is not a radical step either. Foreign democracies, including South Korea, Italy, and France, routinely manage to prosecute crooked former leaders without starting down a slippery slope to authoritarianism." There's a reason Brazil was not included in that list, because after removing Da Silva from office and prosecuting, they did slip into authoritarianism with that, with the Brazilian version of Trump, Jair Bolsonaro. But the Globe continues, "President Nicolas Sarkozy of France was recently found guilty of bribery a decade after his predecessor Jacques Chirac was convicted of corruption. France's democracy and its image around the world remain intact. A commander-in-chief tried his very best to subvert democracy. He attacked his own country. Five people died. Allowing him to go unpunished would set a far more dangerous precedent than having Trump stand trial. To reform the presidency so that the last 4 years are never repeated, the country must go beyond passing laws. It must make clear through its actions that no person, not even the president, is above them." And, you know, we root, for instance, for the Manhattan grand jury investigation. We hope something comes of that. But there is a big difference between a state prosecution and a federal one. With a state prosecution, this is just a bunch of, and he'll say it about, he would say it about a federal prosecution, this is just a Democrat hoax. But a federal prosecution speaks in the name of the people of the United States of America, not just the people of one state. And like I said, you know, we've been calling for this for eons. It's not because we're partisans. We are partisan. We're partisan because we love this country and we know how much damage Republicans always do to our country. And always have done. See old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan. And that's one of the problems with what Merrick Garland is doing relative to, and it's a civil suit, it's not criminal, but relative to E. Jean Carroll's defamation suit. Merrick Garland is once again reinforcing the idea that the President of the United States is above the law. Jesus, I'm so old I can remember when a Democratic president was impeached for saying, I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. And God, you couldn't turn on the radio without hearing some blathering gas bag hollering, the flag is, my friends, the flag is falling. What shall we tell our children? How do we, this is terrible. Bill Clinton should not only be impeached and removed from office, he must be prosecuted and put in prison. He lied to the American people. That is a crime, my friends. One of these days, this idea that the President of the United States is above the law is going to bite us in the ass. I hope it doesn't, but I fear it will. Let's go over to the Skype line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, can you hear me?
I hear you. Hey, Todd.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
I'm a speaker, so if it sounds funny.
You did sound a little far away, but it's not inaudible or anything.
Okay. I'm going to have to put it down momentarily. But so I'm concerned, which is not, you know, surprising. It seems like this program talked about the finagling that was going on under the surface. It might have been Arizona, the first state to try to make it where the state legislature, it might have been Arizona has a large contingent of folks from Philadelphia that moved out there, believe it or not, a large contingent. So anyway, where folks at the state level can overturn a federal election. Which is what, you know, do you understand what I'm talking about?
I do.
Now, it seems to me they have put these chess pieces in place since the end of the last federal election cycle, that last presidential election. You know, they were just too late. If they had gotten more state houses on board, they might have succeeded, but they figured it out. And we have a severely conservative Supreme Court. And the way I understand it, they can rule for or against the interstate compact as a legal way to go around an election.
Well, I mean, the Supreme Court can do whatever the hell it does. I mean, whatever it wants. And that's always been my fear with regard to an interstate compact to try to end run the Electoral College, because it will immediately be challenged in court, and this court would probably overturn it, because losing the popular vote but getting the presidency is a thing that always historically always happens for Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just the data. I mean, that's just a fact.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, I feel like that we're in trouble. This is spreading through the country where, you know, the state houses can say, you know, those electors, we're going to overturn this. We don't agree with it. So, I mean, seriously, like, these people are going to win by hook or crook.
Well, don't you figure they've been working on this for a while, Todd? Because they know that what is referred to as the Browning of America, that the Republican Party is just going to be a rump white nationalist party, and they've got to figure out some way to cling to power. And the Supreme Court told them that they don't have to necessarily let the popular vote determine who gets their electors. I mean, it's not. It's a pretty clear statement.
Well, that's why I'm concerned. They're letting us know right now.
Well, they were given a tool, and we're damn fools if we think they will not use the tool they were given.
Okay. So we need to educate people as fast as possible of the dangers of this continued electoral college and the filibuster and gerrymandering, because they all work together. They all work together. They work in concert, you know, to suppress a certain type of vote. Because, I mean, seriously, otherwise, you know, this is
that's why the For the People Act is so much more important. No offense to the memory of the late, great John Lewis, but it's so much more important than the John Lewis Act. This gets billionaire money out of politics. And it also
work around.
It stops the gerrymandering. It stops the voter suppression. And it does, arguably, to a certain extent, federalize electoral process. And we need that.
That's what we need.
I mean, don't we?
Yes. Now we're going to respect, you know, if we're in charge, we're going to respect, you know, the states' rights and all that stuff, but certain, because now we've seen what they've done. The track record is there. The North Carolina Supreme Court said with surgical precision, I'm paraphrasing, that, you know, that certain folks were gerrymandered out of having an effective vote. So that's good. That's empirical. That's precedent. That's empirical evidence. But this, see, I don't know. This is not clicking with folks. This is serious. This is serious. And like, you know, it was a dark horse issue with the Georgia election rule changes, because people kept, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, it wasn't that bad. They're cutting back on some hours, but you can do this and you can do that. But see, the Trojan horse is being able to overturn a duly elected president just because you don't like him. Or they're not in your camp, they're not in your gang. So I'm not feeling confident. I'm really not.
And that is why. That's why I'm going to play hooky from the program on Monday. I feel an obligation to literally walk the walk. I want to stand with other people who are standing to say that the right to vote is more important than one man's dedication to a racist anachronism political device in the Senate.
You know, you guys might be a light, when I say you guys, West Virginians, because, you know, I've been hearing on the national news how, you know, West Virginia still does have a deep vein of progressives, you know, in your state.
Some of that's fantasy.
Okay. Well, then that's that. I'm trying to grasp at something positive here, because I'm not feeling good.
I understand that, and let me make clear. How many of us thought that the state of Georgia would come together to save the country on January 5th?
Damn, that felt good. Oh, that felt good. A black and a Jew? Come on. Gotta love it.
Almost feels kind of Reconstruction-y, doesn't it?
You know, that's my favorite new hobby, the study in Reconstruction, because I just can't get, it's like the space age, man. These people must have been freaking out. Like, how did these Negroes, how are they making that? They can't read. That must have been fucking with people.
It was so pitiful, the white entrenched power response. Well, them carpetbaggers are just coming down here and telling the Negroes how to vote. They can't even read. They ain't got no ideas of their own. Never mind the fact that the enslaved population of the South actually built that goddamn culture, that every good thing from food to construction techniques to road building was done by black folks. I mean, how could they possibly know who to vote for? And then to put up candidates who were stone cold brilliant. Oh, why the white power structure was shitting its pants. That's why the Klan develops out of white terror. They might be smarter than us. Shit, don't say that out loud.
Well, look, this now see, this dovetails into the last conversation that we had, and it was rich. And that's the truth, you know. They had to figure out a way. I mean, it worked for a few years. It didn't really work because people had all this resentment. There's so much meat on that bone. And you know, and something came with somebody, you know, so much on the table and we're talking. But, you know, you brought up something I had been meaning to ask you. Because we were talking about Indiana and the new Klan, and that was the headquarters, and they infiltrated all the state houses, blah, blah, blah. You know, you brought up the fact of one of your relatives having a general store and post office. And see, that's a gold mine. You know all the news, all the mail comes through there. You're selling. I mean, that's where you go to gossip. That's where you find out what's going on. It's like a tavern almost. Is that what you were expressing?
Yeah. Yeah, he had a sawmill. That meant he sawed people's lumber for him or sold them lumber that put the roofs over people's heads and built barns and whatnot. He had the post office, which itself was at the time a lucrative thing because it was, you know, it was kind of subcontracted out. And he had a general store. So he fed the community.
So he was a muckety muck.
Well, he was a young man, and he was on his way up, and he went on his way down in a damn hurry, thanks to Republicans and the crash. And he destroyed himself, keeping the community alive, on credit that he knew he'd never be able to pay back.
Oh.
Selling to people on credit that he knew they couldn't pay back to him. But, you know, just to flesh out the idea, like I said, who among us thought that Georgia would ever save the nation? Well, it's our turn here in West Virginia. We must make every reasonable effort to educate Joe Manchin, show him the will of the people of this state, and hope that somehow he finds his way to voting the right way. Because it breaks my heart, Todd. There's so much good that, and I know we've been talking about Biden administration fuck-ups this evening. I know. And I feel horrible about it. But I'm so old, I can remember when we said that there needed to be an entire... There needed to be a cabinet secretary in the Obama administration who was the secretary of Jesus, Barack! Remember that?
Yeah.
And we were right. And I was thinking earlier today about how arguing against E. Jean, the U.S. government, the DOJ, arguing against E. Jean Carroll is 2021's, we need to look forward and not back. As far as prosecuting George W. Bush for murdering a million Iraqis and getting 5,000 plus American soldiers killed, but maybe it's our turn, and I want to be part of trying. We have to at least try. Now the other side of that coin, and I hate saying this, and I hope you will forgive me. Having Reverend William Barber come to West Virginia, which I wholly support and will be there to support, but it's going to get a whole bunch of ignorant white people here pissed off.
But he's their friend, and they don't know it.
Well, I mean, he's got a poor people's campaign, and that means he's saying people in white people in West Virginia are poor. And the one thing a person of color can never do is express sympathy for a white man.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's right.
Because that means that that by virtue of that Christian sympathy, that the white that the whiteness or the power and privilege of the whiteness is diminished.
Why you always gotta bring up race?
I know.
No, I
didn't give Trump a chance, neither. All you had to do is give the man a chance.
Give him a chance. That man, that man, president. Listen, I'm sorry, I said listening. Well, you know, I noticed that dynamic. That makes some people feel very uncomfortable.
I mean, like I said, I apologize. I apologized in advance. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, it's not blanket. It's like it's not everyone. Like nothing is everyone, but it's there. It's real. I mean, come on, man. You know where what I do, where I work. I deal with people. They just
why am uppity? All, why am uppity? State. People got to come here. You know they uppity. That's just a bunch of outside
you know
agitators.
You can, what's your degree in? You went to school. You wrote this?
And I wonder, frankly, what kind of coverage the march will get nationally, but in local media as well. I presume it will be covered well in the Charleston Gazette Mail.
Are you staying overnight?
I won't stay overnight.
But that's a little bit of crack.
I mean, it's a 100-mile round trip.
Oh, okay.
And I'll be worn out, but I will be worn out because it's going to be sunny and 84 degrees. You damn right I'm wearing a hat. And I'll probably be tired out because I know where we're marching to because I know where Joe's office is in Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know yet where we're marching from, but have already RSVP'd.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that Mr. Manchin has kind of lost what his goal was? Is he in the middle? He doesn't know what he wants to do now.
No. He has never wavered from his purpose, and that is the advancement of Joe Manchin.
Okay, so it's all about the money and power then. Okay.
Now, he's also, to be fair, he's also about legacy. He wants to be viewed in the same light as Robert Byrd was. He wants to be the hero who brings home the bacon. But American government is, and especially if you're trying to run it ethically, and I think Joe Biden is doing that, Todd. You can't just bring in Joe and say, listen, Joe, vote for these damn bills, break the filibuster, and we're going to send more money to West Virginia than you can fucking count. You can't be that obvious about it.
No, here's the proposal, and it fits. It checks a lot of boxes. Joe gets, there's got to be bridges that have to be rebuilt.
Oh, hell.
And name a bridge or an overpass. No, not an overpass. A bridge. Something big. After Joe Manchin. And that covers the infrastructure. You can check the infrastructure box. You can check his ego box. And you can check his...
Fuck it.
Box.
Rename it. We can rename it the Joe Manchin Historic New River Gorge Bridge.
That's fine. It doesn't even... Right.
It's the longest. It's the highest single arch span in the Western freaking hemisphere.
Oh, see,
now you. I mean, that ain't some viaduct,
right? Well, that sounds like a good candidate. That bridge, that structure. Because that's what he wants. That his name out there. And I was thinking maybe he wanted to angle for governor down the road. But I don't know.
Oh, he's already been that twice.
Yeah, he's done that. So he wants his name on. He wants his name on something monumental in West Virginia. I mean, someone of his ilk, he can't resist that. That's simple psychology. He's out. He's putting his name out.
But again, you can't set it up as that blatant a quid pro quo.
No, you have to, right. You have to hide it like in a grant. You know, you hide stuff in line items in sections that nobody knows. You know, if you don't read.
But I mean, we need stuff here, Todd. It used to piss me off whenever Robert Byrd would bring home something, some asshole right winger. Well, there's Robert Byrd, my friend's Robert Byrd, the king of pork, has wasted more money bringing it back to that godforsaken shithole state, West Virginia. Why in God's name are we giving money to West Virginia? Bunch of ignorant hillbillies. But it was badly, and the money he brought back to northern West Virginia, which coincidentally is smack dab in the middle of Manchin territory.
Mm-hmm.
You reckon maybe that had something to do with something? That technology park up there has absolutely blossomed, and it has turned into an economic incubator for the whole area.
Hmm.
And the FBI center has been, again, northern West Virginia. We need the government to get behind things that will replace the coal industry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe we need a plant to manufacture the widgets that hold the ball bearings in place inside the rotors of the wind turbines.
Well, right, something cutting edge.
We need a couple of thousand good paying jobs that will employ West Virginians in places where West Virginians don't have any goddamn work. Unfortunately, some of those places are kind of still out of the way in terms of roads. But you can build roads, too.
Well, that's what I was going to say. See, you know, they prefab. If you look nowadays, a lot of these bridges, smaller ones, for instance, you know how West Virginia is. I know it is. Sometimes you have to drive 40 miles out of your way because there's no bridge to go directly where you need to go. And there's not that many roads when you get out into, Eastern Blip in West Virginia. And, there's a certain amount you can purchase these prefit the parts. You know, the trucks bring it in, concrete support. You know what I'm talking about. A medium-sized bridge, it will make all the difference in the world to a lot of people. You know, because then when the snow hits, man, it's a pain in the ass. People just stay in. What the hell are you going to, why am I going to go out and wreck my car? I just hunker down. You know about the hunkering down, right?
I don't hunker. I can hunker.
So, yeah, now you can't be blatant, but something's got to give, man. This guy, we don't have much time left. I'm just taking, and I didn't mean to take up this much time with you. I was just feeling frustrated.
Oh, no. You got all the time you want. I get kind of embarrassed when I do 3-hour filler obsters.
Well, you shouldn't. That means that what you're saying is probably pretty damn important where people aren't calling because they're listening. That's why maybe I want to get out of the way. Maybe you have something else you want to cover, but we got to home in on these issues.
Thank you. Thank you for not hurting me.
I can't take it. I'm telling you, it's getting worse. It's too much. It's just too fucking much. It's fun to play with language and curse and stuff, but damn it, you're not allowed to fuck around until you know the King's English. That's the way I look at it. No.
Yeah. There's Ralph saying, "All right, the Joe Manchin Memorial Wind Farm." Fuck. Let's name everything Joe Manchin that isn't already named Robert Byrd. But I think some of these things you can't do till they're dead.
Well, somebody better find out what he needs real quick, because this is is not looking good. And since you brought it up, I like what Kamala said to Mr. Oreo. You know, she was like, I haven't been to Europe either. And that's the truth. What do people think is going to happen if she shows up at the U.S.-Mexico border? Like, are people just going to go, oh, my God, Kamala's here. We need to go back to our huts and getting murdered and raped. No. I don't blame. That's a waste of fucking time. I mean, it's symbolic, but it's still, that's a waste of time. I mean, God only knows what's on her plate. You know, they're doing things we don't even know about, most likely. I mean, all these this is out of control, man. The internet went down the other morning. You know, we have there's other things that we need to do. We should be concerned with. Because this whole thing is about to fall in, man. This shit is falling too damn fast for me.
You too. It's not just me.
No.
Because I got this just god awful feeling that shit's falling apart. And no, it's not because Nitwit Nero isn't president anymore. It's because he was president for 4 years. You can ignore shit for only so long. You know, if you got that, and you know it happens. You have been here. You've been there. You know, you're putting on your sneaks every morning, right? And you know that thing's gonna go, and you say to yourself, you know, I gotta go buy some fucking I gotta go buy some sneaker laces. I just gotta remember, and you always forget, and you never buy the new pair of sneaker laces. And then one morning you go to tie them, and snap. And it's one of those little things that will put you right around the... God damn it!
That ruins the whole day. That snap. Ugh.
Fuck! And then you're doing that stupid thing where you have to relace. You take the broken part of the shoelace, which is dry rotted anyway, and you go back like three lace eyelets, and you knot it together, fuck! It won't go through the eyelet, and so you feel like you're going to spend the rest of the day walking around like a damn doofus with your shoe flopping on your foot. And that's when you finally remember to go buy the shoelaces. Well, that's well and good with shoelaces. It's annoying, but it's survivable. Mm-hmm. Infrastructure, we're treating infrastructure the same way, but it's not nearly as benign as a broken shoelace.
What are these people waiting on? I don't care how it gets paid for. We should not care. You know what? Who's going to pay for all
this? Jesus, Bishop Willard Romney came out and said, hey, we can do the infrastructure bill, and nobody's taxes have to go up. Now, of course, he's talking about his.
And listen, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say listen. And I am strongly against waiting this out, and then they'll say, well, you know, these have to be toll roads, poor profit, because that's the only way we can do this. No, 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 no. No. People try to get around in the city, and if you don't have $100 cash in your pocket, you ain't going nowhere.
Hell, you can't get out of Walmart for less than $100.
Right, but you know, in the infrastructure, it's not like it's busy work. Come on, this is stuff we need. We need everyone knows we need this. This should not be partisan. This is what we're broken. We are a broken, fucked up country right now.
But we're not broke. You know, we're broken, but not broke. We can get unbroken. The shoestring is still hanging by the last thread. We haven't had that goddamn it moment in the you know, some sunny morning yet.
Well, we will by next season when that shoe sits in the closet. And now you can't even, when you go to the store to get the replacement lace, it's not there because of shipping issues. Logistics.
Yeah, no kidding. I've got a, now I wear Remember those classic white leather Keds cheerleader shoes?
Yep.
I got a pair of those, and I've never had them before. Really comfortable. And
those are the girly shoes from the 80s.
Yes.
And that was all the vogue.
Yeah.
I'm telling my girl, man, I had this beautiful, man. That was her favorite. I know those shoes well. They look comfortable. They're soft leather. They got the cushy sole, the little blue catch thing on the back.
Yeah, you know then. Well, I got a pair of those. And the only downside to white leather tennis shoes is white leather tennis shoes. because I was wearing them outside while I was doing all that cooking last week, and they got charcoal dust on. I mean, they're dirty. And so, you know, Agnes said to me, hey, remember, next time you're at the store, remember to get some white, some liquid white shoe polish. You know this stuff.
Right. Yeah, with the sponge cap.
Yeah, no, works. No.
Oh, it didn't work.
It's not that it didn't work. It didn't got. Dollar General didn't have any. Dollar Tree didn't have any. Wally World didn't have any. CVS didn't have any. Walgreens didn't have any.
Damn. Supply chain issue?
That's all I can figure.
See, what is this, man? I mean, it's just a strange... We have not recovered from the height of the pandemic when you had these slots in the supermarket just empty. Nothing. You know, I just got wax paper for the first time in about 2 months. You know, for my sandwiches.
And, yeah.
You know, so we have to do better. I don't know. But the way these people are getting news, man, what they call news, you know, we're just going further down the rabbit hole. And the best thing we can do is prosecute some of these lawmakers who are complicit with that insurrection. Kind of make an example of them. What do you think?
I tend to agree. I would love nothing more than to see Josh Hawley and Mo Brooks, Les Brames prosecuted, but you're going to have some problems, and there's not an issue that I trust the Supreme Court to get right now because they are so firmly dedicated to their wrongness and to doing obeisance to the religion industry. But you'd have some if you were the speech and debate clause, you know, to the extent that shit was said, in the course of normal business in the House and Senate, you can't touch that shit. Outside, it's a little less troublesome, but we're gonna wink at treason. You know we are. Under the rubric, it's all falling apart. Jack in Shreveport says, "I call my coffee maker Mr. Coffee Emeritus." My mini blinds have to be fucked with every time. You know how the cord gets worn and the thing won't stay upright and it won't come down right? The toilet keeps running, but not very often. But you have to make sure you don't go off somewhere while it runs, so you have to hang out and see if it runs. Then the tank lid comes off and fiddle, fiddle, fiddle. Sometimes the fluorescent lights won't come on, so you have to flip the switch on and off until it does. I have to fix my circular saw. There's more. And Jack closes with, "West Virginia, a place for widgets." Oh, I think that's funny on a couple of levels. West Virginia idiots, West Virginia idiots, widgets. Oh, my. And Matt in San Francisco said, "West Virginia, can we just change the name of the state? Montana, Manchin, Mississippi. I don't know how you put up with Joe being your senator for all this time. Bless your heart, Robin." Well, thank you, Matt. Now, and I trust you're not. I trust that's not one of those bless your hearts that means I'm a moron. Because that's what bless your heart means down here. Bless his heart. He can't help it. God love him. You know what that means, Todd.
You don't want that. I had to find out the hard way.
But it, no, I don't know what it would be like to live in a state where I'm proud of the people who represent me. And that's the funny thing. I'm pretty sure that very few people in this state, if you go to them and say, "Hey, are you proud of Representative Carol Miller?" Even the people who voted for him, nah, she's crook. They're all crooks. You know, you can bridge the political divide in this state, no matter Republican, Democrat, if you just look at them and say, you know, they're all crooks. I'm going, hell yeah, God damn it. Every last one of them.
That's a shame. Hey, man, gatekeeping is good work.
No shit.
You know, that's it. Oh, my goodness. Well, boy. Hey, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Maybe this will work out. You know, Joe Biden's doing all he can do.
His Department of Justice is doing less than it can do, but, you know, who's counting?
Yeah, I didn't like that either. I mean, my God, what did you, what? No, and why is DeJoy still around? Get rid of him. He's a criminal. My God. All this stuff. See, we're just now reaping what Nitwit Nero has done in terms of the degrading of our country. You know, that fucker has just, we're hollow, just like what we thought was going to happen. We're a facade. Like a set, you know, when you build a set and it's just, it looks like a house, but it's just the front.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. The Hollywood back lot.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully we can, you know, get the full house at one point, build something, get a cell, or we need a storm cellar is what we need. Because this is just going to get, these people are buying guns left and right, and they're not going away, and they want their way or nothing. And that's it. And I have one, I would like everybody to ask their friends and relatives, neighbors who are Trumpeteers, you know, when they start saying, well, at least he was hard on China, ask them, well, you know, to be wealthy. So I just have a question. Why does he continue to have, and his children, beg to have, because you have to beg to have their things made in China as opposed to building even a small factory here? That confuses me. Can you answer that question?
I'm kind of helpless on that.
Well, imagine how they feel.
You got one?
Oh, they get pissed off. Their eyes glaze. They're like, well, you know, all of a sudden they got Tourette's. You know, come on. It's simple questions, man. You ask people questions and it fucks them up. Simple questions. You know, attack their illogic. You know, lack of logic. It just, you know, we got to do better. This is bullshit. Some of this shit is right and wrong. It has nothing to do with political affiliation. It's just right and wrong. Well, look, I'm glad you're cooking and you're getting all your stuff done.
Oh, Todd, those biscuits were so damn good.
Yeah, you're on to something with that.
And after a while, because I had so many of them, I was probably going to run out. I just made them to do the catfish on. Oh, but I started doing chopped brisket with the hot slaw on a biscuit, and I started doing pulled pork on the biscuit with the hot slaw, and people were losing their shit.
Did you have to get the 5-gallon bucket of lard to make all these biscuits?
I went through a lot of lard and a lot of butter and some blue cheese. Those blue cheese biscuits are special.
Yeah, I'll be doing that one, by the way. Yep.
Oh, you just feel so smart when you're doing it because you're working the lard in, and you put your blue cheese in, and it's just like working the lard in. And next time you eat the flour, you know, you get that little pea gravel flour, and you're like, yeah, yeah. And listen to me. I did a side by side comparison between Southern Biscuit and White Lily.
Right.
Southern Biscuit all day long, every day, twice on Sundays. I'm done with White Lily.
I've been done with White Lily. I don't know if I got it. Yeah, no. I was like, why is this
red? Because I mean, White Lily used to be the go-to.
Yeah. Well, maybe the kids took it over.
No, they moved it out of the South.
Oh. Well, you can't have no good biscuit flour coming from no Yankee State. Now, come on.
Or Kansas.
No, that's not going to work. Oh, man. Speaking
and
of
people
Kansas,
people around here are devoted to Hudson Cream. That shit does that shit don't make biscuits. That shit makes hockey pucks.
But see, that's tradition, right?
Gold medal, Pillsbury, no. Just forget it.
No. Yeah, that, you know, we have this place in Columbia called Adloo, I think. Yeah. And everybody swears by that. But yeah, you need a special kind of flour, I think, for, you know, biscuits. You want a real light flour, I think, right?
No, you want a hard winter wheat flour.
Oh. You think that's what Bojangles uses?
I'd almost guarantee it.
So that means the King Arthur.
Because you don't get the gluten conversion right if you're using a soft wheat.
Well, that's even more reason. I got to tell you one of the highest
compliments I got, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of guys who'd come to, you know, climb, hike, bike, whatever. They wanted one of everything. So they got the pickled sausage worked. Dude, you have got to do this. Kaneka, boil it. Stab it so that some of the grease comes out in the boil.
Yeah.
And get your jars ready and everything, and put mustard seed and dill weed and garlic and red hot chili pepper, you know, the dried ones, and make up your vinegar brine. Make it at least, yeah, you know, make it at least 60%. I like it. I like mine tart and tangy. So it's well over half and half. Yeah, like a 60-40 with a 5% vinegar.
Yeah, that's what I was going to add. Right.
And salt, of course. And pack those sections of Kaneka into your jar. Pour the brine over. Clean them up. Put the lids on.
Man, that's old timey beer food. That's like in the bar.
The thing is, I made them just thinking we'd pull them out of the jar and nibble on them with a glass of beer.
Mm-hmm.
No, I got hit with another bolt of inspiration because I was standing there over the Blackstone, you know, reheating or warming up brisket and warming up pork, pulled pork and warming up the catfish. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? And so I got me a biscuit and I toasted, I split it and toasted it on the Blackstone. Got a couple of those links out, split them with a knife, grilled them face down.
Mm-hmm.
On the Blackstone till they got this gorgeous little red brown crust. Put them on the biscuit with the hot slaw. Slap the top on it, and one wonderful young woman that I know here almost had tears in her eyes. She said, "Ron, that's the most delicious thing I've ever eaten in my life."
Oh man! Wait a minute, with the blue cheese too?
Yeah.
Oh shit. Man, you got all those flavors going on at one time. Damn.
And so, there were these two guys, and they got a brisket biscuit and a catfish biscuit and a pulled pork biscuit and a Kaneka biscuit, pickled Kaneka biscuit. And, you know, we weren't charging a lot. And the next thing I hear is, "Hey, you here every weekend?" No. "When are you going to be here?" I said, "Don't know. Whenever they ask me back again." So they got to ask you back again.
Take out hug.
They got to ask you back again because we got something similar to this one with the brisket. We got something similar to this down in Asheville. You know, Asheville, North Carolina is so hip and so trendy. We got something like this down in Asheville, and it was $15. What you just what we just got from you for a $20 bill is damn near a $100 tab in Asheville. That's less because it's Asheville.
They got one of each for $20.
Yeah.
And you just slit it in half, slit the sausage in half, and you know you grill it, right?
Yeah. And then slap it on the toasted biscuit, put the hot slaw on it, put the top on it, and go.
Well, you need a hut, man. Get what you know, like what you know how they had these little prefab little barn things.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Now a food truck would be better.
Well, yeah, it would
be. with a little trailer behind it with the smoker on it.
Oh shit!
Or do the smoking here, and then you know take it in the food truck. That'd be fun. But somebody said, you need to do this for. For profession, why don't you do this professionally? And you know what I answered? I said, because I don't like getting up and busting my ass at 5 o'clock every morning for the rest of my life.
Right.
Because I did that shit last week, Todd, and it's like suddenly I remembered that I am nearing 60. Son of a bitch! Pardon me, wrong bad phrase, but
bitch.
And then, like I said, Saturday into Sunday, I was up for 26 continuous hours.
You were excited. You know, you were happy.
And the funny thing is, I know I'd tried it all. I knew how good it was. And I'm prone to hypoglycemia. I didn't eat a damn thing all day long. I just sat there drinking ice water with a little wedge of lemon in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it was 90 degrees. And I was schwitzing, but it was just so much fun, and I am still recovering, Todd.
Well, that's good, man. That's a good high. You know that is a good useful.
It was a good high. You know, it was a good high.
Yeah,
I think there were some endorphins involved.
Man, that sounds, you know, it's nice to please people. It's always nice. When
yeah, that was just wonderful, that. Having people going, oh, damn, this is good. Oh, I need another one. And we were talking, we were actually talking about it. And, you know, next up come the stuffed, the smoky grilled stuffed jalapenos.
Mm-hmm.
And
I need that. Right,
and the trifold pork loin.
Yeah, but you can't have that.
I think people go wild over that, too.
That is the future of my retirement. I'm telling you, I'm going to be
managing. Todd's trifold pork loins.
Yep. See when you I'm just telling you because now that I've been doing it so many times, no one says they don't like it. Everyone doesn't say they love it, but everyone likes it a lot. They may not say they love it, you know, but they do. They eat it all. Well, more there's no more because there's only so much. But see, the beauty of that is you can do a bunch of them at once. You know, but that's your idea, man. I mean, it's the sky's the limit with those. It's just like, man, you know, Jesus. But you know, you're talking about trailing the smoker. See, that's a big selling point because when you, even if you're not cooking that meat to sell, that smoke off that grill, you know, that's a draw. People like that. Like you go to a reggae show and they've got the open grill,
mm-hmm.
and they're smoking that jerk. I mean, come on! And they have the you know what's really handy, a meat cleaver. There's something to a meat cleaver. It's handy.
Oh, I got a new tool. I got a new tool.
Oh, what is it?
It is a Thai style half moon knife.
Oh shit!
It is the and it's hand forged, handmade, wooden handle, full tang, and you can chop some shit.
You can chop up scallions with that. You can head off a shrimp.
Yeah, I mean you kind of get that wrist rolling action going.
And you lay it flat, of course, like a chef's knife, you can crush your garlic. You
know, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And you know, every jar of that Kanaka got a crushed clove of garlic.
Well, I'm still pissed off that I cannot get the cracked pepper Kanaka. Yeah, I ain't like that.
I think COVID really, really did screw with them. I think they're, because all I can get up here are the big links. You know, they get the big versus the small. All I can get up right here now are the big links of the Cajun.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes, I figured it out doing what I did. It takes, to do a dozen jars, it takes 12 pounds. It goes about a pound a jar.
My 5 gallon jars?
No. 12 wide mouth quart jars.
Oh, okay.
And that shit is magic.
Well, I'm going to try that because I can do that. That sounds doable.
And people had never had tartar sauce like that tartar sauce because it's tangy. It's not. I don't like that sweet, cloying, sticky tartar sauce. Blech, those candied dill pickle or those candied sweet pickle cubes. Just not me.
You like the cream of tartar. So, well, I'm not going to ask you the recipe on the air. A bad tartar sauce can it'll just ruin the meal. You know, just don't bother. Just don't bother. Wow, so when are you going back over there?
When they ask, because there's other people who actually make a living and are still trying to survive COVID cooking over there.
Oh.
So I don't want to get I don't want to get in their way. But yeah, it would
be. So maybe you could just do benefits.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just.
And I haven't done any ribs yet.
Oh, ribs. And we had ribs. Let me tell you something. The ribs are, we had ribs. I've been full. Like, we had ribs 2 days ago. I'm still full. I had to make, I didn't eat anything until 1 o'clock today. Cause damn, I mean, we had enough ribs where you could get satiated and that's dangerous. But that, I mean, they were just perfect. They just, God almighty.
What were the prices like? Cause I got, we got killed on the meat prices.
It's awful. And it, the best thing you can do is buy something you're going to cook that day, something they've marked. You got to keep going back because it is ridiculous. It's a shame.
The briskets were $5 a pound.
But see,
and that's insane.
This is capitalism.
Yeah, but the briskets were $5 a pound. The pork butts were $2 a pound, and I usually get that stuff for $1.09 a pound. It's doubled.
Wow. Okay.
I got to tell you one more thing. I was over to the Food Line, where they, where they have. You're right. I tried it. You did not steer me wrong. Their house brand bacon is magic.
Isn't it?
It's really good bacon. From? I do.
It's really oh.
this is coming up. This is, I don't know, weather's going to suck for a couple of days. As Dave number 11 reminded me, and I had forgotten, but I saw it and picked it up, the bottle of Old Bay hot sauce.
Mm-mm.
Yes. And
you're kidding me. They have a hot sauce now?
Mm-hmm. And it's the best tasting, not blazing hot, ghost pepper, horrifying. No. It's just good utilitarian hot sauce. It's hot, and it's got that Old Bay flavor.
Right.
Yeah, I'm drinking that out of the jar, too.
I've been trying to duplicate Old Bay for years. I just can't do it.
No, it ain't going to happen. Just buy the damned Old Bay. But this Old Bay hot sauce, I got two packages of those wonderful skinless, boneless thighs that you and I love.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna marinate them in that Old Bay hot sauce and buttermilk.
Yes.
And I'm gonna hot up the. I may do half on the Blackstone and half on the acorn just to see the difference.
Just see which one comes out better, right?
I'll do the one. Yeah. So I'll marinate them and then I'll smoke them on the acorn. Won't take long. And then over on the Blackstone, I'm gonna dip them or roll them in a fried chicken coating, and fry them in brown butter on the Blackstone.
Oh shit! Oh man, see.
And then those I will Parmesan those little bad boys.
See, you know, I love Parmesan. Is not a not just a cheese. It is a seasoning. It is, in fact.
You know, that's absolutely true.
Like chicken wings, man, it's just, I don't, you know, and get the good, like, Trader Joe's brand Parmesan. Unbelievable. It is worth every penny. Kraft ain't shit.
Yeah, don't tease me about Trader Joe's, damn it. You know that.
It's been weeks since I brought them up. Now, I'm, right, so, you know, you're talking about that House Autry, mix is, I really like that mix where you just add water. It just does the job.
Well, I found another one, though. Food Lion carries it, and my Piggly Wiggly carries it, and it comes in a kind of a vertically shaped pouch, coating mix for mm-hmm. fish, and it is, it's Louisiana brand, New Orleans style, fish coating.
I like that one too.
Because they've got a regular and a crispy. And they both got a little bit of, they've got just a little zing of lemon in it.
Now, you know what else is nice to do with that mix is you take your baked potato, you partially cook them, either boil them is good, you know, not overboil like you're going to make mashed potatoes, just kind of get them done, just done. And then wedge them, slightly deep fry them, take them out. Put them in that coating mixture, and then deep fry them like you're deep frying chicken. And boy, you know, they're like potato wedges with chicken fried chicken coating on. But they're fully cooked that way. They are just a wonderful complement to a meal.
That sounds magnificent. Trying to cut back on the carbs some, but that sounds real good.
Yeah, that's not good for folks who don't, you know, watching that kind of stuff.
Yeah, my girlish figure that isn't. But it's there's a whole beautiful, exquisitely warm summer before me. And I'm gonna cook.
Well, you know what? Being yourself, life is too short to be unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Be yourself, and be mindful. When you know, this goes for anyone. I think, and like I'm giving advice. I'm just saying, life is short. If you are really true with yourself and you're not like too off base, not crazy, you know, and mindful, that's the best you can be, and treat people the way you would like to be treated.
It ain't that hard, is it?
No, it's really not. Like sometimes you might have to take a deep breath because people say crazy stuff and do crazy stuff and say, well, you know what? Maybe they're having a bad day. I've had bad days.
If somebody's being an asshole, you don't assume good faith. But I have found, as I've tried to modify my life and my behavior, that assume good faith is a pretty good mantra day to day.
It is. You know, and I'm learning this. I think I had forgotten for a while, but I'm learning it because I deal with so many different types of people. And I have to like really break through the shell of some people that just they just can't stand the fact they have to ask me, you know, things that they don't even know. But you know, focus on commonality. Be kind. Treat people the way they want, you know, that you would want to be treated.
Oh, and by the way, Kevin just sent us a note. You guys talking about Old Bay hot sauce. My girlfriend heard you two, and she ordered 3 bottles for $10. Oh, and she's all about the free set of measuring spoons that came with it. She says, thank you.
Well, that's no problem. You know, let me ask this before we go. I know you have to go, but, you know, there's this clear hot sauce I have in here somewhere. And I like it. It comes with some peppers in the bottle. Have you had this?
Yes.
It's clear. It's not terrible. But my go-to, I like Crystal.
It's kind of hard to come by. A lot of Texas Pete around here. But Crystal is my go-to. I like it because it's got flavor where McElhenney's is just heat.
Yeah. We all understand that that's the granddaddy, but yeah, right. I mean, you know, it's not all about the fuel all the time. How fast your car is, can it handle? You know, yeah. There's so many different types of hot sauces. Oh, food. See, this is good. And don't forget to get your make sure you have powdered ginger, because you know when you get that up your stomach. Ginger tea is good for everyone. Let me say this. Turmeric and ginger tea, I've been doing this now consistently every day for 3 years. And my memory is so much better. And that used to be my specialty, learning and memory, in my previous career. But, I mean, there's something to it. There's something to it. There is empirical evidence to back it up. But, I believe it works. I really do. I'm just saying. I don't have to take any high blood pressure medicine. You know, that's good. It keeps your blood clean a little bit. But
I'm hoping by summer's end I'll be down a bunch of pounds and my A1C will be back under control. And yeah.
Well, you know, you're.
And you know what, Darlene just sent along a note that makes sense. I said I was surprised myself because I didn't eat pretty much all day Saturday. She says men may have more bulk strength, but women are known to have more endurance than men. Maybe your transition is negating the hypoglycemia, because if you're hypoglycemic, then I don't see how you can avoid passing out if you have no food in your system. I don't care how excited and pumped up you are. So the way you handled your marathon Sunday was pretty impressive. Thank you, Dorothy. Thank you. And it blew my mind.
I agree with her.
I think I was just going at it so hard. Everything was burning up. And in that heat, I poured. I mean, it was just constant sweat. And I don't mean to be gross.
Well, good. That was exciting and stimulating.
But it's like Tracy said the other night, I don't perspire, I sweat.
Oh. Tracy is really moving forward.
Yes, she is. I'm so proud. Well, Todd, I am going to wrap it up, but we've had some fantastic civics talk, and we've had some fantastic food porn, which is really a perfect combination, really.
Well, I appreciate you taking my call, and
I appreciate you making it.
Well, yes, and keep up the good work, and everybody. I know you know everybody's got their own little situation, but you know let's try not to leave Robin hanging, because Robin does good work.
I would be lying if I said it hasn't been difficult lately. But folks did help out some, and I appreciate it. Will in Chicago jumped in this evening, and Jeremy jumped in, and Otto DeShot jumped in, and so we did manage to meet. We did manage to meet Ralph's. Reverend Barber meet Joe Manchin, Joe Manchin meet Reverend Barber challenge. That helps. So I guess tomorrow we will be at, 9:50.
Ooh, that's uncomfortable.
It is.
Well, yeah, that's uncomfortable. The overnight crew will pull some things in.
Hopefully. Be mighty nice. And we've had tremendous help from folks, and somehow or another it always manages to work out. It's just the drama of it takes a bit of a toll.
Food truck. I'm telling you, man. Once I regain my rightful kingship, I will indeed have a food truck.
Do you have an extra molar in the lower left of your jaw, proving that you're the true heir to the Romanov dynasty?
It is only able to be examined by certified persons. You know. But I mean, you know, I'm gonna have to make some decisions pretty soon. Seriously, like this is crazy.
Well, Brother Deacon Asa sent a picture of some beautiful, looks like dry cured salami.
Mm.
And I see the word picante salame, ooh, and a bag of crostinis. And said, all this food porn talk has got me in snacking mode. Piss on the two of you terrible influences.
Well, look, it's the biscuits, man. Come on. And, you know, when you have a good biscuit, and I remember last time we talked, I was like, damn. Well, you described them. We all know how the acorn is. I'm like, that fucker's hot as hell. I bet those biscuits, they fucking jump as soon as you put them.
Poof. might as well have been puff pastry, Todd.
That's beautiful.
And they were moist and beautiful and fluffy on the inside. And, you know, you, like I said, you split them with a fork. You never open a biscuit with a knife. You go all the way around with a fork, and it just comes apart perfectly. And I had a few extras, and they're in the fridge. And I haven't made gravy. And I haven't made gravy in a while, and I haven't really done the cream. Are you familiar with cream stewed tomatoes?
Oh, hell yeah.
Then you know. Because it bubbles up and it's hot like lava, and you put it over a hot biscuit. Damn.
See, that there's a high-end French dish that is that, but that's not what they call it. You see? But see, because tomatoes reduce and the sugars come out and it mixes with that cream, and it's special.
Mm-hmm.
Sauce you can make for salmon, like that.
Oh, salmon! Haven't done salmon yet. Time to do some salmon.
Man, you got. What kind of fish do you got? What kind of mountain trout is good?
You know, I compared the catfish from the pig to the trout from the pig. The catfish was better.
Well, it probably was farm raised, maybe.
Yeah, they were both farm raised, but it was rainbow trout, but the catfish was sweet and mild and didn't have that dirt taste. I hate that.
The dirt taste.
Oh, when a catfish hadn't been cleaned right and there's that earth taste.
Right, and what that does is mess up everybody's business, because then you're, like, turned off from catfish for a few months. Like, yeah, I don't think I want to catfish right now.
Yeah, no.
Because it can be the best thing, and it can be the nastiest thing. You know, like you said. So you're not going noodling, are you?
No. I ain't got time for that. I'm busier now than I've ever been in my life, Todd. I got an appointment for this, and I got an appointment for that, and I got to go to the gym. And...
How much weight are you trying to lose?
30 pounds.
Mm. That's a lot of weight.
And lay on a little muscle ass.
Wait a minute. Are you going to lose some shiny honey?
No, we're trying to build that. That's where we're trying to build in the muscle mass. That hurts.
It's hard, man. I was robbed when I was young. I got no butt, and it's a damn shame. It's terrible. Because I used to be buff, man. I used to be a weightlifter. I was kind of that B and all that, but man, you know, ladies like a little butt. You know, whoever.
Hey, try being a male to female transgender and transitioning without one.
Well, you got to go to Brazil and get one of those. Illegal baby oil injections.
Yeah, let's don't and say we didn't.
Just don't. All right. I know. That was, you remember that?
I know. I know.
I was like, damn. These people are desperate. All right. Well, I didn't. Okay.
All right. Well, Todd, you have a good night, my friend. This has been a delight.
You too. Enjoy your biscuits and all well.
Thank you, Todd. You take care.
All right.
Later.
Bye now.
Oh, Todd always brings his A game. And Dave brought his A game this evening. It was good. And thank you. Thank you, dear Jude. Jude just jumped in. And so Steve's challenge is now met. Thank you, Jude. So that means that means we're down. Let's see. We'll be down to, I'm sorry, Cyphron. We'll be down to 890 for tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you, Jude. It's going to be a while, Ralphs. I'm still 58. Will you wear a bikini soon? Not very soon. Thinking about it. Just thinking about it. It might serve as a replacement for naked radio when it gets really bad back here. It's been a wonderful evening. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to all of our subscribers, each and every one of you, PayPal and Patreon. Thank you so much for being partial sponsors of the program and with your gifts keeping this all going. Thank you. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Remember, we always need new subscribers. God, we need new subscribers. Because they, you know, I piss people off, they drop off, they quit, they send me hate mail, whatever. We need new subscribers, but the a la carte contributions are always so gratefully received. Thank you. So thank you, Jude. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Jeremy. And once again, PayPal is not sending me my notifications. And thanks as well to Otto DeShot. Thank you all. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Pinch Hit Midweek Chat Room Utility Moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Remember, the best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please get your vaccine if you haven't already. Stay safe. Remember, your vaccine is your last line of defense, not your first. So you gotta maintain, well, you gotta wash your hands, not touch your face, wear your mask as appropriate, maintain your social distance, and for God's sakes, if somebody comes to you saying, see, why did this key stick to me? Why did that bobby pin stick to my neck? Somebody explain that to me. Avoid that person like the plague, because she is. Later.